Come on, slow starter.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
We gonna get in shape here.
Blue
in
jet, boom.
There you go.
Cadillac, halfback check.
Eagle. You gotta run through that one. Gotta have that one right now.
Come on, Stephon, baby. Let's go.
There you go. Make a play.
Nice job, baby.
Blue 58.
Step here.
Oh, no. That's why I put him up there. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Third here in the beautiful Lehigh Valley. It's Training Camp Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's absolutely gorgeous on this Monday here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as we get it going here. Back to football indeed for the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's PhiladelphiaEagles.com's Training Camp Live, and we have some breaking news for you at the top of the show. Sit down, relax. Here's the breaking news. The Eagles have not made a transaction in the last 27 hours. That is breaking news in a wild and woolly training camp we've had here circa 2011. And it was a great day this morning. Just a beautiful day. Good football. Eagles going through their paces. They had a nice little contact workout working on the running game. And we will show you that, of course, from our sidelines. Some things standing out. Well, Nate Allen and Jaquan Jarrett. You probably, at some point, you know, you'd like it to be anyway, the safety tandem of the future here. And Jarrett moving up and taking reps at the number one strong safety position with Kurt Coleman out today. Let me get you up to date on some injuries, and they are minor ones. Deion Lewis missing today with a hamstring injury. Kurt Coleman, an ankle injury. Brent Celek, back spasms. All three of those players listed as day-to-day. Asante Samuel reports to training camp. Took a physical. He is expected to be at the afternoon walkthrough, so we'll talk to him after practice. And we are looking at Nnamdi Asamoah and Rodgers Cromartie and Cullen Jenkins and all these new Eagles who, I am telling you, I just think it's going to be a great group of players who will be here ready to practice on Thursday. We'll show all of that to you. DeSean Jackson still out. We do not know when he's coming back. The speculation running rampant that he'll be here late in the week, and we hope he is here. Michael Vick saying after practice he didn't think it would be a long time before DeSean returns. And then Jeremy Maclin still out with an undisclosed personal issues. He had those mono-like symptoms early in the offseason, so we'll obviously keep you abreast of any news as it pertains to Jeremy. But today was really, for the first time, an opportunity, I think, for everybody to look at the football team in earnest and really say, okay, let's try to figure out the depth chart a little bit. Let's try to take a look and see what this football team's all about, because, you know, they've had enough days of X's and O's where they've got a lot of the understanding down. A couple of things that you know. Listen, this defensive coaching staff is as energetic as anything I've ever seen. They are flying around like they're players. They want to create such a college atmosphere. You know, they want to really, really have a lot of enthusiasm, tempo. They want to have this group just physical and nasty. Jeffrey Lurie on hand. He will address the media at some point, perhaps later this week, in his State of the Team address. I thought some standouts today. Well, Phillip Hunt is always, through these first few days, has been impressive. Jarrett had a very nice morning. I think the Eagles looking at Cenaris Moss very closely. He's had a good day, good couple of days at wide receiver. Tough odds for Cenaris to make this football team, because I think Johnny Lee Higgins will make an impact here at some point when we get to see him on the practice field. But we're going to let you judge all of that for yourself when we get to our highlights. We invite your phone calls. We'll have Jamal Jackson in studio and Juan Castillo, the defensive coordinator, talks about some of the defensive philosophies that he has, and maybe as he addresses this three cornerback system, some of the alignment that he would like to see. I think that there is very, very much of a chance that the Eagles keep all three of these cornerbacks and work the talent onto the field at the same time. And I know we're a ways away from that, but and you know, Juan's all about the one-day thing. But we shall see. 610-758-1921 is our telephone number here. Let's go to the phones here. Do we have a phone call? Because I'm not in. Okay, let's go to Fort Lauderdale. Talk to Ben. Hey, Ben.
Hey, Dave. What's going on, buddy?
Everything's good. How are you, pal?
Good. Just interesting news that came on the radio down here in Florida was that Mike Massanelli reported that the issues on Maclin are more significant than they appear of just him missing camp, that the mono has really changed his physical abilities were, he said he's somewhere 20 pounds and loss of weight. He's a little bit concerned about his physical abilities to get back on the field with that type of illness, which raises a big concern here because at the wide receiver position, you know, look, I'm not worried about Jackson. I think the deal will get done. Let's be honest. He's going to be on the team this year. I believe he'll be playing. But concerns with if you don't have Macklin, and he's really your standout guy, leads the team in receptions, and Avant's probably your next guy to step in, looking at Riley Cooper. You mentioned Johnny Lee Higgins as the possible fifth candidate. My question to you, Dave, is how many receivers make the team? Do they go with five? Do they go with six? Do they go with seven? And is Moss and Johnny Lee Higgins enough to beat out the rookies who, you know, this DeAndre Brown, who's a physical specimen?
Yeah, but he's not.
You know,
DeAndre
who do you
Brown
think?
Well, Ben, listen, I'm not going to speculate on Jeremy's health, okay? When you lose 20 pounds, and as he reportedly did early in the spring, then, yeah, of course you're concerned about it. But let's see how that works out, because I don't want to speculate. But
do you think they keep six or seven receivers?
No, you can't keep
that?
Seven. No, and listen, if Jeremy isn't healthy enough, he starts the season on PUP. I mean, if he comes in a week or so and he's fine, then he's fine. If he's not, I think Johnny Lee Higgins there's a reason the Eagles signed Johnny Lee Higgins on the first day of free agency.
It's not like he needed a guy.
Which one, Sonoris Moss?
Sonoris Moss looks great. I mean, he's running good routes. He's showing good speed.
Listen, he's
showing the right thing.
When you say Moss, Ben, the reason I pause is because there was a report yesterday that the Eagles had shown interest in Randy Moss. And I'm not laughing.
Do you think that's a good move, Dave? I mean, you know, you're right there. You're on the sideline. You're in Lehigh. Is Randy Moss a fit for this team? You think so?
Anybody who can play football at a high level is a fit for this team. And when I was talking about Plaxico Burress, it wasn't to come here and be a starter. It was to come here and be a red zone threat to fit a role.
Absolutely.
And so if any team goes out and gets Randy Moss thinking he's going to be a starter, I think you're going to be very disappointed.
Well, no, not to be a starter, but I mean, you know, look, we're looking at depth at this point, you know, to add depth and at the receiver position, you're not going to start above Macklin and Jackson and Avant. Those are just your starters, and that's it. But where do they go? What I'm asking you, Dave, is who's number four? Who's number five? Who's number six, in your opinion?
Right. I mean, Johnny Lee Higgins is going to. I talked to a scout yesterday, and I said, how do you like Johnny Lee Higgins? Now, this was a college scout. He said, I loved him coming out of college. Fastest guy going. He believes that he can beat DeSean Jackson in a race.
Really?
And, yeah. So, I mean, he's very, very fast. And so he's not here just to return punts. I think Johnny Lee is here to be a player for this offense.
So you're saying receivers 4, 5, and 6 are Cooper, Johnny Lee Higgins, and Randy Moss?
No, so I'm telling you, Randy Moss isn't an Eagle. Sonoris Moss is an Eagle, and he's probably your sixth receiver right now.
Okay, and then if Randy Moss is out there, he's potentially in the mix.
Every one of them is potentially in the mix. I think you look at every single player, absolutely. Absolutely,
wow.
And I think you keep six receivers.
Six is what I was thinking. Do they go with six or they go with seven? Six is perfect, and one of them has to play special teams too, right?
Listen, Ben, and Riley Cooper will be a special teamer. This is another, to me, I was talking to Merrill Reese about this. Why did you go on the first day of free agency and sign a tight end? It's not just, it's not a guy off the scrap heap. You know, Donald Lee is somebody I'm sure who would have gotten interest and had gotten interest from other teams. So what does that mean? Does that mean that they're not all jazzed about Celek and Harbor? I had kind of taken that as kind of something for granted. And they're not keeping three tight ends.
Right.
So there's some intrigue there, and they want to see what Donald Lee can do. Is it because he blocks well? He had been a pretty good pass catcher, as I think Baldy pointed out yesterday, with Brett Favre in Green Bay. So there's some stuff going on there, wide receiver and tight end, that I find very, very interesting.
Hey, Dave, one last thing going out. Is it true Noah Devine just walked out of practice? Is he done? Is he no longer an Eagle?
That's correct.
He's done.
Yes, and he had struggled badly here. I mean, he really was overwhelmed by things and decided to leave camp.
And as far as running backs in depth there, are they looking at more into a Greg Cooper type of backup role for third string potential?
Well, who's your second string running back? I like Deion Lewis. I will tell you that his lack of size concerns me just a bit. And
Cooper's got a potential to be a backup.
Cooper can be a backup. And remember, there's still some quality veterans out there in free agency who are getting no looks. Where is Jerome Harrison going?
Cut, right?
Yeah, where's Jerome Harrison going? Where's Ronnie Brown going? Where's Ricky Williams going? Where are these players? I had somebody tell me yesterday, not with the team, but a reporter, that the Bears are shopping Chester Taylor. So if you want to get a backup, you certainly can get one.
Nice. Well, thanks, Dave. Sure. Appreciate all the insight.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thanks for the call. 610-758-1921. It's Training Camp Live. We're live every day at noon after a morning workout. And again, today is a quiet day. No personnel moves. I don't even know what to do with myself. What I did was I watched the action, and it was very good action. And when we take another phone call after that, we will get with you and put our cameras on the field and let you watch it as well. Ace from D.C. Ace, what's up?
What's up, Dave? Check it out, man. I evaluated everything over the weekend, man.
Mm-hmm.
I still got a problem, though.
You have
check
problems.
Check this out.
Right out. Yes.
This is real, and I've been listening to people, and this is just my point of view. Hey, man, all of this that we've done, I don't think our offense is going to change, and I think our offense play calling was our problem. I'm going to tell you like this. Just put it, I told you this last week. I don't want to see another McCoy. I need to see somebody at least 30 to 40 pounds bigger than McCoy in that backfield.
Yeah, who would want to see another McCoy who led the NFC in total yards from scrimmage and was fourth in the league in yards from scrimmage? I mean, come on. They're not. If your offensive line is getting the job done, a 213-pound running back is plenty big enough. You're not going to have a guy on the roster who's 230 pounds to carry the football once a game. Twice a game.
Well,
you have fullbacks.
I'm not saying once or twice a game. I'm just being honest with you, Dave. I don't want to see McCoy with all the courage because that right there, like his numbers, they're kind of tricky. Those are a lot of numbers, but they came off big plays. Our problem last year was when we had a lead, we couldn't hold it due to the fact that we throw the ball so much that we'll put this great defense that we got in bad positions. So all I'm saying is, I would like to see a running back and a big wide receiver. Because to me, looking at everything that we got, this could still blow up in our face if the offense is not working. I love McCoy. I love him to death. But I need somebody like Murray and Barber back there to join in. Because, like they was talking about this morning, third and twos, man, we can't be calling pass plays this year.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, you say it all you want, and it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
Okay, let me ask you that then. Let me ask you this then, Dave. If that doesn't happen, this blow up in our face this year,
okay.
I think this was a waste of time because if we get all of these people on defense and our problem is offense, we had a problem on defense.
If your Ace, let me ask you this. If your offensive line is creating openings, isn't that the important thing in the running game rather than whether your back weighs 215 pounds or 235 pounds?
Well, okay, I give you that. Creating openings.
That's why they used a first round draft pick on an offensive lineman.
I understand, but that's irrelevant if we got a small line running back that can't get 2 yards on third and two.
LeSean McCoy is not small.
Well, I don't mean it in that way. I'm not getting on McCoy. I'm getting on majority of the play calling.
I understand.
I want to know, are we going to have a whole new system?
No.
Not meaning everything, but I'm saying we need to run the ball because if we're going to be doing what we did last year with this defense we just got, we could wind up with the same record.
Here's the thing. You ask that question to Howard Mudd, and he would bite your head off because he won a Super Bowl with a team that didn't have a 230-pound running back. You know, he won this. However you need to get that 2 yards on third and two, you get it. So I understand what you're saying. I understand the smash-mouth mentality. To me, the mentality comes from being physical up front, not from having Marion Barber.
I'm not really saying smash-mouth, Dave.
In a four-minute offense, which the Eagles ran very successfully at times last year, I mean, you'll remember the Giants game, you remember the Dallas game, right? When McCoy scored the big touchdowns.
Well, okay, now the trick to it is, see, those numbers kind of flawed because we're doing that when we got big leads and the game's almost over. I'm saying there's a lot of games we should have won last year where we could not control the clock. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is, are we going to get some better clock management on offense? And I say, all is strong, we're putting Vic in bad predicaments. Now, if we're going to do what we did last year, we can count on Vic missing three or four games. All right? I don't care how good the offensive line is. That run-pass ratio has got to get a little bit more better. I love everything they're doing, and I'm not saying go draft a humongous running back. I'm just saying, in this practice, let's work on some running. You know,
they
I
do. Guess what? We're going to show that to you, my friend, because we do have that, and the Eagles did work on the run game. In fact, let's take a look at that now. Would that make you happy, Ace?
Hey, Dave, look, I'm not a dreamer. If I see that, I think that'll kind of trick me a little bit. But at the same time, it all goes back to the offensive coordinator. And I was drilling this to you last year. Third and two and third and one, I do not want to see a pass play called. And the reason why we are in that predicament is because we don't have the running back experience. Not taking nothing from McCoy. Or, like I say, let me see some more Schmidt in there. I would like to see that fullback lead blocking. No lead blockers coming from this team. And I don't want to just leave it all on the offense. Dave, I love you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Ace. Love you, too. And we're actually looking for that right now. But it was the stuff that – remember I got all uptight because we didn't have a camera there? That's what it was. Ryan and I were shooting one-on-one offensive – or wide receiver defensive line or defensive backs. That's why we need to show Ace. Do we still have it? Can we get it? Let's get it. If there's a way, there's a will. If there's a will, there's a way. By the way, Adam Kaplan is reporting that the Broderick Bunkley deal fell through. So we'll look to see if that is the case. Find out. The Eagles, if you remember, traded Bunkley to the Browns, got a fifth round draft pick in return. Let's find out if, in fact, that is the case. Did Broderick Bunkley not pass physical? I mean, what's the deal there? He was on the practice field here. So I don't know the dealio there. Let's take another call here. Hey, Dave in Philadelphia joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hey, I got like a few questions.
Yeah.
About the tight end, I think Harbaugh is the guy that's going to leave. I mean, they won't treat Celek away. And I just think Harbaugh is the one that's probably going to end up leaving.
Why?
You think, if Donald Lee outplays him, and Celek, they won't treat Celek away.
He got a big contract.
Yeah, well, Celek had a big contract?
Celek got a big contract 2 years ago?
But, I mean, he did good, like, his first year. Second year, I mean, it wasn't his fault. He couldn't catch.
Well, no, Brent was a very valuable guy last year blocking. When he had an opportunity in the pass game, he's been very productive. I think I looked at the Eagles' tight end situation. I thought they were in really good shape at tight end. And then they go out and sign Donald Lee in the first day of free agency. And
I just think it's between Lee and Harbaugh. I don't think Celek's really going to, like I think he's going to be starting no matter what. I think it's just for backup. I mean,
the question is, can you carry, and maybe they can. Can you carry three tight ends?
Yeah, but isn't it true that Vic lost faith in Celek? Because, like, I heard a report that he kind of lost his, like, faith in Celek. I mean,
I don't buy that for a second. I mean, against the Bears, he went to Celek down the seam. Against the Giants, he went to Celek down the seam.
Yeah, I forgot about the last caller. I mean, what he said was somewhat true, because if you look at, like, last year against the Bears, we couldn't, like, run the ball for winning. I mean, they stopped us, like, on fourth down.
It's because the offensive line got killed.
Yeah, but it just seems weird. Every time we reverse the Bears or Patriots, we lose, like, the last quarter. I mean, I guess the Patriots, because, you have Tom Brady. I mean, that guy's, like, line's great. I mean, him, Manning, I mean, their line's just...
offensive line. That's why they invested, Dave, in Howard Mudd. That's why they invested a first-round pick in Danny Watkins, who, by the way, has not shown up yet and who is getting buried on the depth chart. And it's just not off to the kind of start you hoped he would be. I understand Danny Watkins wants to play football and wants to earn some playing time, then get into training camp.
Yeah.
Okay.
But is it true? Like, I mean, do you think Jackson thinks it's going to turn into T.O. all over again?
No, I think I think Jackson will be in here by the end of the week. How about that?
Yeah, but I mean, I think like six receivers. I mean, I don't really want Randy Moss because I don't think he's what he used to be.
But if he isn't, Dave, you just cut him. You know, he doesn't make the team. I mean, if you can bring players in now to take a look at them, then you bring them in, and you're going to see that. Howie's going to cut players, bring players in, take a look at this guy, move that guy. The practice squad, I guarantee you, this year will change a million times. So, thanks for the call. Go ahead. Oh, do we cut him? Oh, sorry, Dave. You still there? Go ahead.
Okay, I was looking at a few games. First Cardinals. Do you think that? I mean, if Kyle beats us, I kind of think it's possible because with the receivers they have, and they just sent Hightower to Redskins, but they still have like a lot of people. If Kyle beats us, do you think it would be like a rub in the face kind of?
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. No, I don't. I don't really. I can't. No. Eagles are going to beat the Cardinals. It's a very good, Dave. This is a very, thanks for the call, guys. This is a very, very good football team, okay? Let's talk a little bit about, what do you want to throw it to now? You want to do a little special cat? All right, special category, Eagles running a two-minute drill. Offense, one against one, two against two, three against three. Actually, very good stuff here. From the sidelines here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, a live look, number one.
All right, this is the situation here, special category. It's 1 minute, 40 seconds left, one timeout remaining. Ball is at the 40-yard line. The ones versus the ones. Vic in the shotgun. Back to throw. Good pressure there from Jaquay Parker working against Austin Howard at the right tackle position. Eagles have Howard and Peters at tackle. Harriman's and McGlynn. I think that's McGlynn at right guard. And Jamal Jackson at center. I'll have to check that out. Incomplete there for, well, completion there for Harbor. Actually, at right guard at 73, I believe that's Vandeveld. At safety here with the ones, the Eagles going with Allen and Jarrett. Jaquan Jarrett moving up into the ones. Let's start back to the ball now. 54 seconds remaining on the clock. Second down, five. Vic back, looks left, throws for Cooper. Completed. Clock is running. Ball's at the 30-yard line. Situational work here. Vic drops, has time, throws over the middle, broken up there. Nate Allen, good to see that. Second-year man coming back from his patellar tendon injury, breaks on the ball, gets to the football, and knocks it away. Ball on the 24-yard line, second down, 32 seconds on the clock. Vic in the shotgun. Avant Cooper near side, Hall far side, single back is McCoy. Eagles showing blitz and they come. Vic throws to the right side for Hall and a penalty flag down. And that is a penalty. All right, so 25 seconds left in this period. Ball is at the 20-yard line. First and 10. Vic in the shotgun. Vic back. And just a jailbreak there. Mike Patterson inside. Trent Cole off the edge. And McCoy just couldn't handle Cole with the pressure there. His clock is running. 12, 11, 10. Kills the ball. Vic kills the ball. So the Eagles have one more chance at it here from the 20-yard line. In this two-minute drill, Eagles training camp presented by Sports Authority. Too bad. So the Eagles going for one shot here. Vic in the shotgun. Eagles bringing pressure. Vic throws it for Avant. Nearly a great one-handed catch against Trevard Lindley. 2 seconds remaining on the clock from the 20-yard line. Okay, 2 seconds left in this period from the 20-yard line. Vic in the shotgun. And some pressure there from Cole. Vic All right, let's set the defense for you, twos versus twos. It's Tap, Abumiri, Laws, and Teo Nesheim up front. Eagles in the nickel here, so they've got, as Kafka completes a throw out there to Sonoris Moss, Curtis Marsh, Isaiah Trufant, Hughes, Brian Roll, Marlon Jackson, Jamar Adams on the defense. Kafka in the shotgun. He's got some time, steps up in the pocket, dumps it down for Cooper. He's actually got a lot of reps here in practice. It is now first down in this two-minute drill, a minute 10 left. Kafka doing a nice job getting everybody set up at the line of scrimmage here at the 50-yard line. It's first and 10. Quick throw out to Harper. Another first down. Another second down and two. Second down and two. Offense moving the ball pretty well here. 45 seconds remaining on the clock. Kafka to the right side, and a nice play there from Curtis Marsh. Intended for Sonoris Moss.
Off a lot of contact, past five on that.
All right, so the Eagles' offense now from the 35-yard line going in. 36 seconds remaining on the clock. First and 10. Kafka in the shotgun. Cooper the lone setback. Harper Brown near side. Looking for Harper down the field against Trufant. The ball underthrown. Trufant had good coverage there, but Kafka underthrowing on that fade route. So clock is running. 20 seconds left in this drill. Second down and five from the 20. Kafka takes the snap, looks right, throws out for Brown, who makes the catch and gets out of bounds. 8 seconds left on the clock, ball on the 25-yard line. Kafka in the shotgun, Cooper the lone setback. Moss and Brown near side. False start there from Tapu. Turner makes the catch there, pushes off against Trufant, but makes the catch, but that was an offensive pass interference as well as a false start on left tackle Fanuki Tapu. All right, so the defense we have set up here, it's Tapp, it's Thornton inside, it's Abumiri, as well as Philip Hunt up front. Foku out on the field at linebacker, along with Greg Lloyd, Eagles in the nickel. Calvin Trufant are two of the cornerbacks here, as Gerard Johnson takes the snap and takes off. Also on the field for the defense here, Jamar Wall and Colt Anderson. And we'll take a look at the offense here. Brown and Turner near side. Fanuki Tapu, one of the tackles. Nice play there from Jorah Calvin. And a false start there from Cornelius Ingram, who's changed his number to 85. Clock is running, 33 seconds left here in this two-minute drill. Calvin again makes the play, reads it, gets through the block from Turner, and a timeout called. All right, we've got 21 seconds remaining on the clock. Ball at the 35-yard line going in, and a blitz, very successful. Very successful blitz. Calvin locking down Brown in coverage there. Good period for Jorah Calvin, and the blitz gets home. So you're seeing a little bit of what Juan Castillo wants to do, bring the pressure and be fast off the ball. And more pressure there, Phillip Hunt.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
This aisle isn't big enough for two zeros.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Is that all you got?
I'm up to my knees in zero calories. Pepsi to the max, so let's drink all of these.
Snoop! Pepsi Max, too much taste to be called a zero.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our five-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship! Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Have your attention. I have an announcement. Football is back.
Oh, what? Football's back. Yes.
Hey, Trish, football's back.
Football's back, huh?
Yes.
For years, one rivalry has divided a continent. In this showdown, players become legends and goals are remembered forever. USA, Mexico, age-old rivalry, brand new chapter. Cheer on your national team when the USA faces Mexico, Wednesday, August 10th at Lincoln Financial Field. For tickets, call Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Soda. Be right back.
Santa, my man.
Making a Pepsi.
Pepsi?
Yeah, Pepsi.
But Mr. Claus, I thought you had a deal with, you know.
I'm on vacation. Wanna have a little fun.
Summertime is Pepsi time.
Naughty.
Nice.
Well, Eagles training camp marches on. I'm Dave Spadaro, welcomed in our PhiladelphiaEagles.com training camp live tent by Eagles center Jamal Jackson. Glad to see Jamal back on the football field, and I know for you, this training camp just couldn't come fast enough for you, right?
Yeah, you know, finally out, healthy, just ready to try to win the Super Bowl.
All right, let's talk about the offense, Howard Mudd. I mean, listen, I heard all these stories about Howard being this legend. Did you hear all the stories? Do a lot of linemen talk about him?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's well respected and well known around the NFL, and you know he's a great coach, and you know he just enjoyed learning from him.
His style seems a lot less fiery, I guess, than Juan. But I think in his own way, right? In his own way, he really gets
right.
after you.
You know,
he's not. He can't run around.
Yeah, you know, he's not all animated, but you know, he's intense when he needs to be. So you know, that's all you need.
Jamal, how do you look at the offensive line? There seems to be a lot of moving parts at this point in time. Are you looking at the offensive line as a whole right now, or for you, you just want to win the starting job at center? Get yourself into football shape and be ready for the regular season?
Basically, just prepare myself for the regular season. You know, right now we got a lot of guys rotating in and out, just trying to get everybody accustomed to how Mudd wants the offensive lineman to play. So, you know, right now it's just getting acclimated to his system.
What did he tell you he wants from you back in the very brief time that he had to speak to you in terms of maybe, you know, we've read lose weight, be a smaller – faster line? Did he actually say, hey, Jamal, I want you to do this, this, and this when you get to camp?
Nah, not really. You know, what Mud is just get the job done. You know, do it his way and, you know, just be effective in doing it. So, you know, hopefully we're doing that up to this point and we can just carry it on throughout camp.
Jamal, how are you feeling?
I feel great. You know, for the first time in about a year and a half, you know, I feel 100% healed and, you know, I'm ready to go. I have no setbacks, no limited practice, no nothing. So the arm's great, the knee's great, I'm ready to go.
What was the knee like last training camp? I know it couldn't have been totally
100%. Nah, you know, I was hesitant, but, you know, with the few practices I did have and, you know, the limited amount of reps I did take during that first game against Green Bay, you know, it kind of helped my confidence out a lot. So right now it's an afterthought.
I hate to go back and revisit the injury, but I'm – What went through your mind when he came off the field in the opener against the Packers?
Just not again, you know. And you know that's something.
Did you know?
You know, it was a tough pill to swallow, but you know, I figured, you know, 2011 training camp would be around pretty soon, just not in the fashion that it came, mm-hmm. and you know, with the lockout and everything. But you know, it's here, and you know, we're ready to roll.
How do you overcome the emotionally devastating times that every athlete has to have when you work so hard to get on the field? And then
you need a foundation in me. It was my family, my faith in God, and, you know, my daughters.
Yeah.
So, you know, they helped me out along the way and knowing that daddy was always home.
Right.
You know, so
now, always home.
Always home. Yeah. You know, so, you know, I had a lot of time to spend with them, and, you know, it was great.
Hey, so you get to snap to Michael Vick. You didn't get a chance to do it last year.
Right.
I know you got the chance to watch Michael.
Mm-hmm.
It's really remarkable, Jamal, as a longtime member of the team, you know, historian of the team, how the quarterback picture has changed here the last few years.
I know, you know, it went from Donovan to Kevin Cobb to Michael Vick. So,
and now Vince is here.
Vince is it, right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, all great quarterbacks in their own aspect, but you know, I'm looking forward to working with all of them.
Does it take time to get used to his hands in your rear end, basically?
Well, you know, I got quite a few snaps with him
last
year prior.
Camp. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm familiar with Mike, and, you know, it's just all about repetition.
That's
true.
You did. You did, because he came in quite a bit.
Right.
Is there a difference, though, in how a guy pulls away from center or anything like that, or how he likes it in his hands?
Not really. I mean, all I ask is they keep their hands open because I like to snap the ball pretty quick.
Hey, what's changing in the NFL? What have you noticed here? What's the defensive trends? What are – front fours, front all these three-man fronts now, Jamal, has it changed a lot over the years? Has the defensive fronts changed a lot?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, with the Pittsburgh Steelers winning the Super Bowl past couple of years, you know, a lot of teams try to go to the 3-4 look. But now I think teams are starting to go back to the 4-3 look just so they can have that beef on the inside.
Okay. Doesn't matter to you, right?
I mean, not
you're,
really.
You're covered or you're uncovered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the rest? What are your goals here for training camp? Is it just a day by day?
Yeah, take it day by day. You know, pray to God, stay injury free, and you know, just learn as much as I can, and you know, just compete.
It's a different day of practice. I mean, today is a walkthrough afternoon. I mean,
right.
I hesitate to call it a country club because I know how hard you're working.
Right.
But it is a lot nicer on the knees and the back.
It is. You know, there's a lot of learning going on, and, you know, that's the time to focus in on the mental aspect of the game.
Okay. Jamal Jackson, Eagles center, we are so glad to have you back on the field in the starting lineup and anchoring this offensive line that still needs to come together. I'm sure it will with Howard Mudd. Jamal Jackson, thanks for joining us here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, thanks for having me.
You got it.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go. Only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Thank you. Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on earth.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Beaky, I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet?
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple. It's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet. What?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm gonna get some for myself. God fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enriched timeless goodness imported from Lancaster County.
Hey fellas, I know what we gotta do. We gotta go out here and dominate the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Everybody gotta step their game up today. Everybody, let's go.
And we're back. Dave Spadaro with you, Training Camp Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're live every day after the morning practice. We are live at noon. Today, Asante Samuel reports to camp. He will be out here for the afternoon walkthrough, and then we'll, I'm sure, get a chance to interview him and find out how he feels about the arrival of Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Nnamdi Asamoah. Eagles have three Pro Bowl cornerbacks in town on the roster in Juan Castillo's defense. So that is exciting. DeSean Jackson's still out, but the speculation is that he will return at some point this week. We hope so. Jeremy Maclin's still out with his illness. And Danny Watkins still unsigned, the first-round draft pick. Not off to the kind of start that you want. You can tell the chock full of news here at this Eagles training camp as we take a look from our PhiladelphiaEagles.com tent at what it looks like here in the Lehigh Valley. But when the first-round pick isn't here, and people are not up in arms about it. The kid is absolutely doing the wrong thing. The wrong thing. Playing the waiting game for picks 21 and 23 or whatever it is, the picks around him, to come to agree to terms. It's just not the right thing to do. Anyway, we're taking phone calls, 610-758-1921. Let's go to Roger in Wisconsin. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
Good.
Good. What's up?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is it Danny Watkins that's holding on, or is his agent that's not finding the right deal for him?
Well, his agent works for Danny, right? So Danny's the one trying to make this football team. He's not here. Danny's the one holding out. All right, and I know why they're doing it. It is not the right thing to do. And Joe Panos, a former Eagle, is the agent engineering this thing, and I know why he's doing it, and it's just he doesn't have the best interests of this young man in mind. That's the way I look at it. I don't like holdouts. It's over a third or fourth year guaranteed of this contract, and it's a dumb move for the kid.
And do you think we're going to play more nickel packages this year?
I think we saw the Packers last year line up a lot in their three cornerback set. And they kind of at times used Charles Woodson as a linebacker. They used him to blitz. They used him in the box. Why couldn't you do that with Nnamdi?
Would you think that they would put Asante as nickel?
As the guy, if you only have two, define nickel. As the third cornerback when you're starting with two cornerbacks, who's the one on the sidelines?
Yes.
I would probably say Dominique.
Okay.
Who seemed to be okay with that possibility when he met the media the other day.
Okay, and when y'all shooting this live, are y'all gonna put this like in a different video? Because
no.
The reason is like I see bits and pieces.
We would love to. The football guys won't let us do it. They do not want other teams, and I understand this. They do not want other teams taking a look at this. So, I'm sorry to say no.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Thanks, Roger.
You're welcome.
610-758-1921. We take a look at Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. some cut-ups from him over the days here. Very, very impressive. What a great athlete. What tremendous ball skills and athletic ability. Look at this play here. Gets his hands on the receiver. I mean, just covers him up. Ben in North Carolina joins us. Hey, Ben.
How's it going, Dave?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing really well. To continue on the Danny Watkins, who's taking first reps at right guard?
They are looking at a lot of different players. We have seen Mike McGlynn. We have seen A.Q. Shipley. Today it was Julian Vanderveld.
Wow.
They're looking at every conceivable combination. We've seen Kelsey. I saw today Jason Kelsey was taking first-team reps at center. So Howard Mudd wants to find out. See, Howard Mudd's thing is, I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm going to look at everybody. Made the best five win. Austin Howard taking reps at right tackle today. They have not found the answer at right tackle.
He's probably not doing too well.
Who's that?
King Dunlap.
Up and down. Up and down. Mm. You know, he's been getting beat. He's held his own. I mean, they're going against really good defensive ends here, but they're going to go against really good defensive ends every single week. And I think King has been up and down, yeah.
Well, thank you, Dave. Hey, have a great Eagles day.
Hey, my friend. Thank you, Ben, in North Carolina, as we watch a little of the battle. Jason Peters and Trent Cole. 610-758-1921. We're going to get back to the practice field in just a moment and get to Nate Allen, who is coming back from that torn patellar tendon injury. And I thought he looked absolutely great today in practice. Let's go to Philadelphia. Talk to Marshall. Hey, Marshall.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
How's it going?
Hey, man, quick thing before I even get into my question, man. I love what y'all are doing on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you.
I'm down in college in Baltimore, and I can't get on the updates and things like that as much as I like to. But PhiladelphiaEagles.com keeps everything perfectly organized. I mean, the welcome back splash video was awesome. I'm down here geeking when we signed Namdi. It's just a great environment on the internet here.
Hey, you know what, Marshall, that makes me so happy, and the guys here are so happy. We work hard, and the Eagles want us to do this because of people like you out there who are watching it and enjoying it and appreciating it so much, and we thank you so much. And this week that was, it was great to share it with Eagles fans because I felt like I learned at the same time you learned, and I could not hide my emotion and my joy of the plan that the Eagles had and the way they executed it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just wanted to touch on what I think Carla said earlier. I think I was talking to Ace from D.C.
Yes.
I completely disagree with him. I mean, I think that McCoy, I remember the Dallas game when we had the ball with like 4 minutes left, and I think we ran the ball with McCoy like seven straight times right up the gut of Dallas defense, and they didn't get the ball back, and we closed that game out. So, I mean, it really is about the scheme. Howard Mudd is doing some great things, I see. I don't think we need a 230-pound, 220-pound guy because, you know, you always want to keep defenses guessing. You don't want to be able to say, okay, this guy is in. They're going to run it up the gut. They're going to do this. Like, it's all about unpredictability. And I love what the front office is doing. We have the best front office in football right now.
Well, I understand the need, and I agree with the need to be better in third and short. And I agree with the need to be unpredictable, and in third and two, sometimes you turn around and hand the ball off. And I agree with the need to be better in goal-to-go situations. I am with you there. And I think you get better when you win the battle up front. And if there's a running back who's 230 who can play, yeah, bring him in. But I'm not going to bring in a guy who just because I want to bring in a 230-pound player. You know?
Right.
Marion Barber, I hear the need. Now, we'll see how the Chicago Bears use him. Fell out of favor in Dallas. Now, the reason could be because the offensive line fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked Marion Barber a whole lot. He gets hurt a bit, but I think they'll fill a backup role. Somebody will be here to fill the backup running back role. I believe that. I cannot imagine going into the season with Deion Lewis. Unless Deion Lewis shows me something that I haven't seen yet in training camp, in the preseason games. He is new to the offense. If he's in the game, he's either getting the ball or you're running him over. And he's got to prove he can block these blitzers. He works at it. He's going to be a good football player in this league. But if I'm a Super Bowl contending team, I think I want to get a little bit more experienced in the backfield.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you answering.
My pleasure, Marshall. Thanks so much. All right, Nate Allen, we promised you we'd get to him. Coming off that rookie season, torn patellar tendon injury that he suffered in that tremendous comeback victory against the Giants. He is healthy. He is on the field. And we talked to him after practice.
Think you are at this point?
I say I'm 100%, you know, but it's just the trainers, they want to progress me along and just, you know, make sure. But I feel great. Feel 100.
Talking to Dominique, he said you're pretty vocal out there. Is there a big difference from obviously last year, first camp to now?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, even though we're putting a few new things in on defense, I know I got to learn quick and, you know, kind of step up as a leader back there in the secondary.
How's Juan made it for you? Has he made it simple? Is he kind of just sticking with the basics as for now?
Yeah, I mean, we got a great defense, and like you said, you know, he made it pretty simple, and, you know, gives us an opportunity to play fast out there.
DRC says that you guys are sort of feeding off his energy so far.
Oh, yeah, he gets it. You know, he gets it live out there. He definitely does. He's always running around yelling and everything. So,
what's it like now with Asante back to have three corners out there and the possibilities that you can do and what you can work with?
Oh, it's huge. You know, having three high-caliber guys like that, it makes, you know, your job as a safety easy. You know, it takes – not easy, but it just, you know, takes some pressure off. And it's nice having those three guys with you and – you know, we know they're going to make a lot of plays for us.
Good deal. Thank you, Nick.
Yep.
Looked to us like you were all over the field this morning. Did you feel like you had a pretty good session out there?
Yeah, I felt like it was pretty good. Just kind of getting back in the feel of things and, you know, just getting my body back in sync with everything and getting back in football shape. But my knee feels real good.
How about your impressions of working with Jaquan on the first team for the first time?
Oh, it was good. You know, he's learning, and, you know, we're both learning. So we're both out there talking to each other and, you know, making sure each other's lined up right and, you know, just kind of holding each other accountable. But he's coming along.
In retrospect, were you satisfied with your rookie season?
I mean, yeah, I was satisfied. But, I mean, it was kind of disappointing to get hurt there at the end. And, you know, but, I mean, I'm never really satisfied. You can always do better and improve. So just going to keep building off of it.
Just take the pressure off you with the three corners. What does it allow you to do, especially throw out there at the same time?
I mean, sometimes in certain coverages, you can, you know those guys are going to lock their receiver down and, you know, do their job and, you know, be able to make a play. And you don't necessarily have to lean to a certain guy as much or anything like that. But, I mean, it's still, you still got to do your job as a safety. But, I mean, those guys, you know, they're going to make plays out there.
So at the end of the season when you're hurt like that, you feel as if you were robbed of something?
Not really. It was just a disappointment, you know, because we made it to the wild card game. And, you know, being a rookie, that's always exciting, the opportunity to get to play in a playoff game. But, you know, it is what it is. So.
All right. Good.
Do you feel like Quentin Michaels rubbed off on you the right way in some ways?
Oh, yeah. You know, I miss Q. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a business. And Q, he helped me so much last year and just making the transition and being a professional and just a lot with the mental part of the game. So, yeah, Q, I owe a lot of credit to Q for that.
Well, that is Nate Allen, a very, very important part of this Eagles defense 2011 and beyond. We want to get into the defense a little bit more in depth here. First, though, I want to tell you that tomorrow at 10 a.m., Eagles single-game tickets on sale. 10 a.m. They're going to go quickly, so get in at PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Ticketmaster.com, all of your information there. Okay. Juan Castillo is energy, passion, tempo, demanding. And in his press conference, he explains all of that and more as he meets the Philadelphia media.
You guys can fire away whenever you're ready. Juan Castillo, for a second, he just jumped out. Who? You didn't know or hadn't seen before and really impressed you in these early sessions?
Everybody's jumped out. Everybody's getting better and doing a good job.
Well, you bring Asante shows up today. Maybe might be able to practice this afternoon. And now you kind of have this conundrum of having three starting quarterbacks. How do you plan to deal
with
that?
Man, I'm so fired up. I am excited. It's unbelievable.
Into certain roles or
I think all you got to do is look at the Green Bay Packers. What position did Rod Woodson play in nickel? How much nickel did the Green Bay Packers play? And that gets you excited.
Who would be the nickel right now, Juan?
Well, I mean, you pick them. I mean, all three of those guys could do it. I hope I say this. Namdi is a special guy. He wants to make plays. I think he respects Rod Woodson. I mean, I think he'd love that role. You know, being able to blitz, you know, big, tall guy like that coming off the edge, and then all of a sudden press coverage on the slot guy. I mean, and, you know, sometimes if he's going to match, the slot guy may be the guy inside anyway. You know, so it's exciting.
So that would be the projection right now anyway, that Namdi would be the...
You know, things can change, but you know, it's exciting, you know.
It's exciting for you, but I mean, it could create uncomfortability if a guy's not willing to buy into it.
Well, here's the thing is that you know that really a nickel guy, a nickel defensive back, is really a starter in the NFL. I mean, the way people play, there's some teams that don't even play regular personnel. And then there's some people like the Colts, they play the two tight ends, two wideouts, and one back. And that extra tight end is a receiver. So you're playing that nickel the whole game. So you know what? No, we have three starters. You know, you need three starters. I mean, that's a great deal. We're excited.
Could you take a starter like Namdi, and if he started, say, at the right corner, move him into the nickel spot, and then move the third corner back to the...
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, him and I rode in the car together to practice yesterday, and he was the one that mentioned to me what the kind of job that Rod Woodson did, and that he would be excited about a role like that if it went that way.
Juan, Green Bay last year, I mean, played nickel most of the time. I mean, regardless of what offense they were looking at. I mean, do you have the personnel to do that if you want to with your three corners?
That's what we're talking about. Now you have the ability to do that, you know, and do some of those things, you know. I mean, I think they set a trend for people not to be scared to do that. It's just like, it's no different than sometimes having to play three wide outs, you know, with your base personnel versus people that you don't know how they're subbing, you know. And I think it's all a mindset too for the guys. You know, it's like today we were trying to work on a mindset. We're trying to get something across about being an intimidating defense. You know, that's what we were working on today. So I think those three corners understand how to intimidate people and some of our other guys, but I want the whole defense to understand how it feels to just intimidate somebody, you know, and that's what we was working on hard today.
What kind of an impact do you think Colin Jenkins can make?
You know what, we went against him a few times. You know, he's an excellent pass rusher, you know, a hard worker, a smart player, just a very good pass rusher.
Roselio's been your nickel specialist for quite a while. I mean, you guys pay him like a starter because you like the way he is in that role. Where does he fit in if you have the other three occupied?
How about dime? How about people playing four wideouts? How about sometimes when three wideouts, having another athlete in there so you can do some more things? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of possibilities here. You know, really, I'm just trying to get past this practice and get ready for the next practice. I mean, you know, we want to take it one step at a time. You know, we're working on certain things today. This afternoon, we'll work on some other things. Tomorrow's another day, you know, and we're just worried about everybody, every position getting a little better. It's a process, you know, kind of like Coach Reed's offensive line coach, and he taught me that everything's a process, that tomorrow will be a little bit better because we're working on the correct fundamentals. You see the safeties are working on their hips. You know, everybody talks about hips for the safeties. You see the corners, they're working on plant, stab, and drive, which is very important for the corners. You see the linebackers working on taking on the block and shedding the block and making the play. That's a process. You see the D-line, and you saw them today. They're working on getting off the ball. So those are the things that we're going to do every day, over and over and over, and then we'll constantly get better. Not saying that there's not going to be bumps in the road, but when there's a bump, you go right back to your fundamentals because you have a plan. We have a plan on how to get better, and this is going to be a championship defense.
You're very young at linebacker right now. A lot of guys in their first, second year. What are you looking for from those guys as these
camp days go on? I mean, what are you?
Well, you know what? I tell you what. I mean, you could probably answer that question for me. You, Merrill, and some of you guys, remember when you first got your chance? All right. How did you react? So look where you're at now. How did your boss take care of you? What did he do to you to help you get through those times so that you could get to where you're at now? You could probably write that down, and that'd be probably, hopefully, the same thing that I'm thinking, you know, because whoever did that did a good job with you guys could look where you're at now.
Specifically to a linebacker, I mean, what are you looking for a football player to be doing, you know, differently as...
Well, you know, I think, you know, you laugh at what I said, but that's the key. How do you bring along guys like that? You know, fundamentals. All right, let them understand, you know, when they make a mistake, hey, that's not your fault, that's my fault, because I'm your coach and it's my responsibility to teach you. That's what, I mean, really, that's the teacher, right? When you have a classroom, I think when I taught class and you have a classroom, the kids that fail, they don't fail. Who really fails? Think about it. Who really fails? If you taught a classroom and you have three or four kids fail, who's really the person failing? I think it's the teacher not doing a good job teaching. And that's the way we want to look at it, because that's what Coach Reed has here is teachers.
When you have several key guys who aren't able to practice yet until Thursday, what is your plan with them? What are you doing with them out there? Obviously, they have to just watch, but are you going over things with them? How are you doing?
Yes, Les. You know, they've been able to go to our meetings, and then their individual coaches are doing a good job spending time with them, you know, going over some of the things. And, you know, football, really football is football. They've been through they know the coverages that we run. It's just of, you know, wherever they came from, how did they play two deep? What did they call man? But two deep, man, three deep, quarters, it's all the same thing. Maybe we tweaking a couple of things and combining a couple of things, but it's more just the numbers, you know, not as much the on-the-field stuff.
This league is heading in the direction where three number one cornerbacks will be the exception be the rule more than the exception?
Well, you know what I think what it is everybody's trying to get three and really four good corners. I mean, the way people throw the football, you know, you have those teams, you know, for example, us, we want to have four good receivers here, and we do have four good receivers. And so now I think on the other side of the ball, you know, you just transfer over. You know, when I went to defense, one thing that I always think about all the things that Coach Reed would talk about the defense. And then now I'm trying just to flip things over, kind of like when I went from coaching defense to coaching the offensive line. I flipped everything over. Now I'm just flipping it back. You know, some of the things that I used to hear him talk about when he talked about what defenses did that made it hard for him as a play caller.
You're pretty fired up. You're always fired up, but it's early and you're slapping guys. You were jumping in on a dog pile. You headbutted one guy. Can you talk about how this new role allows you to be even
myself?
More fiery?
Allows me to be myself. You know, I mean, I'm a linebacker. And you know, you guys, if you understand, I mean, I played at Texas A&I, and the guys that coached me, you had to be like that. You know, Fred Jonas and Robert Young were individual coaches. Coach Harns was our head coach, but that's the way you played at Texas A&I. I mean, you played crazy like that. I mean, you had to, or you get your, you know, that's back, you know, there's no rules down there at A&I when we're NAIA. You know, a coach may kick you in the butt, you know, I mean, it was crazy. So you learn how to be physical and aggressive and play with energy. And when I started coaching on defense, that's the way I did it. And when I went to the offensive line, I always thought, you know, get the offensive line to play like the defensive guys. You know, so really, you know what, it's really fun for me because I can just be myself. You know, this is, and I said that's one thing that I was hoping I could do is just be myself.
John's question about the young linebackers. You put Casey in with the ones from day one. You obviously had confidence in him from just scouting him. I mean, how has he responded? What went into the decision to do that with him?
You know, Casey's very smart, and he's very, calm, very, I mean, he's just like this. You know, he doesn't get excited, doesn't get nervous, doesn't get excited when something, you know, I'm like, and he's just like there, okay, just waiting for me to make the call. You know, he's just very confident individual. I think, you know, imagine being him and sitting down for dinner since he's been a young kid and who he's sitting with now. Imagine what they've been talking all their lives, you know, and so, I mean, I mean, you couldn't help but learn a lot, but just sitting on, I would have liked to sit in that table, you know, and have dinner with him. I mean, it's incredible. And so we felt that he had those qualities, all right, to be the Mike linebacker.
Juan, Nnamdi was kind of giving Jocelio some pointers while he was on the sidelines there. How nice is it to have a guy with that kind of skill set and also the mind for the game to be on your secondary?
Oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, we're so excited, you know. I mean, you know, the whole personnel, people, you know, and Mr. Banner, Mr. Lurie, and Coach Reed, and, you know, bringing those kind of people here, it's very exciting for us as coaches, and I think for the rest of our players, and I think everybody understands that, you know, Coach Reed knows that defenses win championships, and that's what he's trying to do, is build a defense here to help win the Super Bowl.
When you guys signed Asante, you had three legitimate starting cornerbacks, and Asante and Lito and Sheldon. Over time, obviously, one of those guys was traded. How is this situation now with three solid starters different from back then?
Well, you know what? I can't answer that one because I wasn't over there. You know, I had other things that, at that time that I was worried about. You know.
Do you have to worry about, like, taking care of people's egos when you do this kind of job? You know, with so many high-priced players, you know, worrying about contracts and stuff. Or do you just expect them to all just bond together, join into the program, share your enthusiasm, and get the job done?
You know, the thing here is that, you know, we talked about that in our first meeting to the guys that have been here and the guys that got here is, you know, we have a tradition here, you know, with Philadelphia Eagles, with Coach Reed. We've been to the playoffs 9 out of 12 years. We won almost 11 games a year, and I presented it to him. That's our tradition. And then I said to him, you know, that's not good enough. You know, we want to win the Super Bowl here. And I think everybody's in. Everybody's in into that. They all understand that, you know, for us, you know, we have individual goals that Coach Reed and we set. You know, we have to win the East. We have to try to get a home field advantage. But our ultimate goal, and I think that's what keeps, you know, as you said, Eagles and all that, you know, together, because we have one common goal, you know, and that's what we're all working for.
How did Nate Allen look?
You know, he looks smooth, you know, and he's got a place with a lot of confidence, you know, and you can see that he's got a good burst. It's exciting that he's back.
All right, thanks, guys. We have the officials video and press conference.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once. And don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange. You want the NFL? Go to the NFL.
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
The biggest thing about the first play of the drive, we knew the play the night before and we was going deep. We was going to take a shot.
Oh, he's back and he is looking deep.
This one's called the Deshauninator. If he hits it, he can rename it.
It's beautiful. It's intelligent. Even genius.
But does your network work?
Yes, I can hear you now.
This is America's largest and most reliable network, Verizon, built so you can rule the air.
RICO is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit RICO at www.rico-usa.com.
And we are back. Dave Spadaro with you here, Training Camp Live. I guess the Randy Moss rumors are just that. Randy Moss reportedly retiring, said his agent. So you can scratch that off the wish list. I believe we have a phone call, do we not, Brian? Mike, you still there? Mike from Tennessee.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
Mike, you're a man's man. How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Long-time listener, first time getting through.
Hey, thanks, man. Welcome.
How's everything going?
It's going great. We've got a nice breeze blowing through here. Good few days of activity. Let's see what the Eagles can do next.
That's what I'd love to hear. Hey, I wanted to run a couple things by you real quick and get your opinion on them. First, I asked a couple times on Twitter. I didn't get an answer back. Are you going to have any interviews with Mudd or Washburn anytime soon?
You know, they, per Eagles rules, they don't. You know, they don't speak to the media. They met the media when they were joined the team, but they don't. You know, position coaches don't speak.
Oh, I didn't know. Since you had the inside track inside the studio, maybe they could talk to you alone.
Yeah, they don't. That's kind of a coaching policy.
I was actually a little bummed about Donald Lee coming in because I've actually been a big fan of Cornelius Ingram, and the numbers game, it's not looking too good for him, especially, I guess, with the injuries he's had so far.
Yeah, and he's changed his number. He's now number 85 rather than number 88. Donald Lee is 88. I root for Cornelius. He's one of the nicest kids I've ever met, and I respect everybody who's come through the injury mill there. He's got a tough task to make this football team.
With the issue, you know, you hear a lot of talk about, you know, Michael Vick holding on to the ball too long. Is that something that he is working with his position coach, or is that something that he will actually work with Howard Mudd on as well?
Well, it'll depend on the call. You know, they built hot reads into the offense now. And I talked to Brian Baldinger about that a little bit yesterday. There are now hot reads where the receiver and the call and the center and the quarterback, they hear the call at the line of scrimmage and they break off their routes and they are hot reads against the blitz. Eagles didn't have that in the past, and they relied on getting the football out quickly, and I think that's why. And they relied on the sliding, the protection, and making it work that way. I think the plan is to get the football out of Michael's hands a little bit more quickly when he sees these blitzes. At the same time, you know, he's that kind of quarterback who can make plays with his legs,
right?
And there's going to be that element in his game forever that he's going to try to make some plays with his legs, and to do so, he's going to try to hold on to the football.
Right. And one more thing. Every year around the training camp time, I like to take a look at the whole roster that we have and try to pick out our 53.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, this has been probably the hardest year for me as far as just picking out 53. Not necessarily now, but sometime today, if you get a chance, do you think you could kind of go through each position and just give, like, how many you think we might keep at each position?
Well, I'll do it right now for you. I'll do it right now for you. Quarterback, the Eagles will keep 3. I'll write it down.
Okay.
And this is all a total joke because they haven't even put pads on and really tackled yet. But, you know, so QB, 3. Fullback, 1. Halfback, 3. Okay. Wide receiver, let's say 6. Tight end, let's say 2. O-line, let's say 9. So on that side of the ball, you got 3, 7, 8, 15, and 9 is 23. On defense, let's say 9 D-linemen. Let's say 6 linebackers. Let's say 4 cornerbacks. CB4, safety 4. And then specialist would be 3. How many does that give you? Let's see. That's 9, 6, 15, and 3 is 18, and 8. 18 and 8 is 26. 26 and 23 is 49. So you can go 3 more than that. Or no, you can go 4 more than that. What am I missing here? Safeties, cornerbacks, linebackers. Maybe linebackers you keep 7. Sometimes they keep 10 offensive linemen. Maybe there's a third tight end in there.
Any chance for a fifth corner?
Maybe a fifth cornerback. Yeah, probably a fifth cornerback versus a fifth safety. So then that would be it. So you would get, that's your 40. That gets you to 40, 52. And sometimes they keep 10 defensive linemen. I think they keep five. Yeah, they keep 10 D linemen. They keep five. They keep nine, actually.
That was actually one of the areas that I had trouble with, you know, how many they would keep. Because I know you mentioned before that Philip Hunt looks like he's doing really well. I also heard from one of the Philly beat writers that he's actually there at practice, and he said it looked like that Washburn has been chewing him out the past couple days. I didn't know if that was like a good chewing out or a bad chewing out.
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. And by the way, Alex Henry today was great kicking the football. And I'm actually going to show you some of this so you can watch it. I think it was 7 of 7. I think I've only seen him miss one field goal here. He's got a big leg, nice, smooth to the ball. Washburn chews out everybody, okay? So, and he chews out everybody all the time. So get used to it. But Philip Hunt will be one of those players that – will dominate in the preseason games because he will play third string. And so they need to give this kid some time against, you know, number one, number two offensive tackles to see what he can do.
Right.
He's very quick off the ball. Can he hold up through the punishment? Or is he just going to be a specialist, or is he not good enough to make this team? But I like him.
I know when I found out we brought him in, and then pairing him with Washburn's wide nine, I thought, wow, I mean, can you really think of a more perfect system for what the skill set this kid brings in?
And that's why
with his size, he's not going to sit there and wrestle with any offensive tackles, but in the wide techniques, he's going to have the speed to get around some guys.
Yeah, I mean, that is what he does. He gets off the edge. He gets. Some space created, and then he uses his speed. He's not going to overpower anybody. He's going to run around you more often than not. He's going to spin move on you. He's going to stay very, very low. And he's had penetration more often than not here in this practice. So I think Philip Hunt's on his way to making it a difficult decision for the Eagles at defensive end. Now, you can pencil in Babin and Cole and Tapp. Parker probably and Graham. That's five right there. Now, does Graham get back on the practice field or does he go PUP? Does this kid make Philip Hunt make a move? Does Victor Abiyamiri come all the way back?
Is Abiyamiri pretty much getting all his reps at D tackle?
Yeah, he's getting a lot of them at tackle. Yep.
How does he look at that position?
Hard to tell, but I think he looks okay. Not as explosive as some of these other defensive linemen are. He's more of a functional kind of guy. He's not an explosive, you know, shoot up the field kind of player.
Weren't they trying to do that a few years ago before he got hurt, moving him inside on passing downs? Any kind of struggle?
And that's why Cullen Jenkins is here. Third down, you want to get the pass rush up the middle.
My main concern with Matthew starting, especially in the nickel situation, if we get those three Pro Bowl corners in, if we have Matthews and Chaney, my main concern was, you know, teams are going to see that and they're going to say, we need to start devising some running plays, you know, instead of taking our chance throwing the ball. And if that was the case, then you got to look at stopping the run. And that was my main concern. I think if you had Cullen Jenkins and Antonio Dixon in at D tackle at the same time, you know, I'd be pretty comfortable with that. But when you start talking about, you know, having Abiyamiri and Patterson in, you know, not so much.
I understand the idea that now, listen, Casey Matthews is the guy right now. We've all been talking about this for a week now. When will the Eagles bring in a veteran defensive leader at the middle linebacker position? And we've been ticking off Steven Tulloch and Barrett Roode and Nick Barnett, and all those guys are gone. And the Eagles, I'm sure if they felt the urgency to do so, they could have gone out and gotten one of those players. They know Jamar Chaney can play, and they really like – I mean, I'm telling you, and I know it's early, and they still could bring in a veteran, but they really like Casey Matthews.
Yeah, I'm actually a big fan of Jamar Chaney myself, just you know, his attitude and the way he came on at the end of last season, and you know, his dedication in this off season with the lockout and everything. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going to do really well.
Yeah, I we'll see. I want to see Casey Matthews when the pads go on. He is instinctive, and you heard Juan Castillo. I mean, he's grown up in the game. Nothing phases him. He's very, very smart football instincts. He's fast. And I think the rap on Casey is one thing, size. And he's bulked up.
Which he's actually been working on that, too.
Yeah, he's up to 245. And he's a football player. Now, it's asking an awful, awful lot for a rookie to come in here without any OTAs. You know, it's funny. I've been writing, and I really believe this, and we'll see if it happens, but how do you count on rookies when there's no off season? Well, all of a sudden you've got, you know, today Jaquan Jarrett taking reps at one strong safety, Casey Matthews taking reps at one at middle linebacker, Danny Watkins, who's out, you know, you expect him at some point to be in and compete for a starting job at right guard. Julian Vanderveld, meanwhile, is taking the reps and playing well at right guard. Alex Henry's your kicker. Chaz Henry's your punter. What's that, five rookies?
Right.
So it's a really interesting mix of young and older that you're seeing early. Now, I think the Eagles are still working through some of this. They want to find out about these players. It's very important how you evaluate them. More important now, the training camp, than ever before, because you've got such a limited sample of these players. But I find it very interesting that so many young players at this point are playing such a prominent role in this Eagles team.
I think it's a little bit different with Matthews, though, if you look at him compared to other rookies, because not only has he grown up in the sport, but I mean, he was a 4-year starter at Oregon at the middle linebacker position, where he had to run, the defense. And not only that, the entire offseason, he's working with his brother, and his brother, is basically telling him, what to expect. And, they were doing basically the same training together. So I think he's, that's going to give him a strong advantage with Watkins. Do you remember when the lockout was done for like a day or two, and the players got to come in, and then the owners,
it was for 1 day.
Do you know? I thought I heard that he did, but I don't know for sure. Do you know if Danny Watkins was able to get a playbook that day?
Probably did. I would imagine he did. Yeah.
I know. I saw an interview with Matthews where he said he did not, but I thought I heard that Watkins did, but I didn't know for sure.
Yeah. Well. Hey, I mean, I think that Watkins, all of the mental reps that you can, you want to take, and I understand he wants to be the guy who gets in here and plays. Well, all of that's great, but you can't replace what you're missing on the football field. He's already at the point now where he's probably, even if he reported tomorrow, would be coming in a little bit too late to play in a preseason game, right? It starts a week from Thursday.
Right.
So, I mean, you going to count on Danny Watkins to help your football team early in the season? It's very difficult to do.
I guess it's all going to depend on, how the other rookies are faring. I mean, there's a reason that he was selected in the first round and, they weren't.
Well, they brought in Evan Mathis, and I guarantee you that he will come in and be somebody they look at a lot very early.
He's interesting because, I've heard a lot of people say, he's bounced around. I wouldn't expect anything from him, but
I don't know about
the way I look at it, he is a Howard Mudd kind of guy because he is more of an athletic offensive lineman rather than, a road grader.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And
he's experienced.
The other teams that he went to, it was really just a bad fit stylistically. Whereas, as far as Mudd's concerned, I think he'll be a good fit for Howard.
Well, we'll see. Thanks for the call. We will see what he doesn't practice till Thursday. Thursday is going to be a big day here at camp with all of these unrestricted free agents. With all these unrestricted free agents practicing for the first time, it'll be a lot of fun. Let's take a look at practice. Speaking of practice, we go. Let's see here. Let's talk a little bit about the wide receivers and the DBs. It's always a favorite. Eagles one-on-ones, wide receivers and the cornerbacks doing a little work on the practice field. You get to size up the players a little bit. We get to size up the players a little bit. And, of course, preseason is where it all really matters. But let's take a look at the Eagles wide receivers and the cornerbacks and the DBs one-on-one. And we've got receivers versus cornerbacks today. Jorick Calvin is the cornerback here, and a penalty flag goes down on him as DeAndre Brown makes the catch. Isaiah Trufant here. Good coverage there from Trufant. Sonoris Moss up at wide receiver against Jamar Wall. An out route, good coverage there from Wall. And actually a catch, but out of bounds. All right, we've got Riley Cooper here as he shrugs off Jaquan Jarrett. Is that? No. Can't quite tell who that is. All right, Jaquan Jarrett, Eagles second round draft pick in coverage here. Let's take a look at him. Eagles love him. Strong safety. Excellent job. Excellent job from Jarrett against Turner. All right, we've got a rematch. Jarrett and Turner. Okay. Not bad job there from Jarrett. And the throw to Jason Avant against Trevard Lindley. Lindley up again as Chad Hall lines up. Off coverage here. Good move there from Hall. Now it's Jorick Calvin against Rod Harper. Our third round draft pick, Curtis Marsh, up against second-year man Riley Cooper, off coverage from the cornerback. Didn't drive. Little hesitation there from Marsh. Turn and go. Throw down the sideline, and nice play there from Brandon Hughes.
Good job.
All right, we've got Jones here at wide receiver. Creates a little bit of separation. Makes a catch. Against Trufant. DeAndre Brown, the catch there. Against Wall. All right, here we go. Curtis Marsh up again. Makes runs with the receiver, does a nice job there, turns, incomplete pass. Good job there from Curtis Marsh. All right, we've got Jamar Wall in coverage. Excellent route there from Turner. Or, I'm sorry, Jorick Calvin in coverage. Jones misses the throw there from Kafka. Wall in coverage. And the last rep here. And the completion is made. Same two, Jones and Wall. And you're looking at the beautiful South Campus here, Lehigh University. It's the Goodman Campus of Lehigh University. It's lovely. Little corporate hospitality tents over there. Little family area over there. Beautiful day here at Lehigh. Dave Spitter with you. Let's go now as we're on the theme of cornerbacks and wide receivers. Let's talk to Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. Now he's getting the idea of what it takes to be a Philadelphia Eagle. How's he like being here?
Secondary like this, like, you know, with like three cornerbacks, no. Or like, oh, really?
Not in my first time, you know, but I'm looking forward to it.
Do you know Asante pretty well? Have you met him before?
Nah, you know, you met him on the sideline and just watched him, and you know everything about him since he played your position, but I never officially just met him.
Normally he's pretty loud and vocal during practice. Yeah. You heard that about him?
Yes, sir. You know, I heard he likes to talk a little bit, get after it, but, you know, that's all part of the game.
Your impressions of the defense so far after a few days of practice?
Shoot, man, flying around and getting after it. You know, the main thing is everybody get to the ball. You know, ain't no drop-offs, and it's just a high velocity defense.
What are your impressions of Jaquan so far? I mean, I've seen you guys had like that near collision there during.
You know, it's the guy. That's the guy that's gonna go after. Everybody going after the ball. Everybody trying to make that play. And sometimes that happens in football.
Yeah. Has he made a good impression on you so far?
Yes, sir. Real good.
Have you thought about how they might use all three of you guys? Like what? Rotations? Anything like that? Any ideas? Playing all at the same time for most of the time?
Nah, I ain't really think about it. You know, the main thing is just trying to get in, learn the system, and just compete. And whatever happens, it happens.
It seems like there'd be enough time.
And that is Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. I'm Dave Spadaro. Let's catch you up on the news of the day. Asante Samuel reports to Eagles training camp here at Lehigh University. He'll be here in the afternoon. It's a walkthrough practice this afternoon. We will get with him afterward. He'll, I'm sure, have a press conference and talk to everybody and say hello. And he is certainly welcome. Welcomed very nicely to training camp here. The Eagles still waiting to hear from DeSean Jackson, are still waiting to get him into camp. The word out there, the buzz, is that DeSean will be here at some point this week. Still missing due to personal reasons, wide receiver Jeremy Maclin, no update there. And Danny Watkins, Eagles first-round draft pick, out without a contract. As far as injuries, only the minor variety thus far, knock on wood. The Eagles reporting that Deion Lewis missing some time today. I believe a hamstring injury, nothing serious there. Kirk Coleman, an ankle injury, nothing serious there. And Brent Celek out today and day-to-day with back spasms. Let's go to the phones, 610-758-1921. We'll stay right here in Bethlehem. Oh, I'm sorry. Philip in Atlanta. Hey, Philip.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
How are you? I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, man. Good. Just excited, you know, the free agency moves we've been doing and stuff, and been keeping up with the Eagles, man. I'm loving it.
Love it, Phil. Thank you. Thanks for being part of it.
Yeah, I had a question, though, Dave. Two questions, actually. The linebacker situation and the running back situation, how do you think those two positions are going to play out?
Well, I certainly think at running back they will bring in a veteran backup. I just believe that.
Okay.
It just makes sense. If you're going to – Joe Banner sat right here the other day and said, we're trying to make sure we have depth every conceivable spot. Well, mm-hmm. Running back is a logical place with a slew of veteran running backs still out there.
Yeah.
You know, middle linebacker, every day that goes by makes me believe that Casey Matthews is going to be the guy. And if Casey Matthews doesn't work out, you can always move Jamar Chaney back to the middle.
Yeah, I mean, everybody sort of seems happy with Casey Matthews right now. I mean, I know he's a rookie, but I think it's fine right now. I was just concerned maybe we needed to get, you know, somebody with more experience, you know, if we're going to go for this championship run.
And the thing about Casey is, look, he looks great now, and right now it's much more about the mental side of things. He's very fast to the football. He's very instinctive, all of that. When he gets the pads on and he's getting, is he going to be able to get off blocks? Is he going to get swallowed up? The Eagles think not. I mean, they think he's going to be able to come in here and play right away. Clearly, they're giving him a whole lot of responsibility. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it, Dave. And there's going to be some. We'll see in preseason how they play and how the rookies and stuff. So, looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Phil. Thanks for the call. 610-758-1921. It is fascinating, though. I mean, all these moves, you don't come to this point and leave yourself thin at two really critical spots, running back and middle linebacker. I mean, that would just not make any sense at all. So I think I'm actually out of Gmail. So, okay, let's go out to California to talk to Richard. Hey, Richard.
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Just chilling, man. I'm probably the biggest Eagle fan out here in California.
Oh, there's a lot of them out there, Richard.
No, I hear you, man, but real men wear green. But I was really, man, you know, the whole trade situation, you know, didn't even thinking about trading Samuel.
I don't think that you trade Asante Samuel unless you get knocked over by a deal.
Even to mention it, you know what I mean? You see on NFL.com that they're even talking about it, man. That's the only guy that held down that backfield.
Well, that then it just doesn't make sense.
So that three slot is just amazing.
You try to create a market. You make the league aware that, hey, if you are serious about conversations, we'll listen to you. But I think that's the way it is with every player. I mean, there's no untouchable. If a team offers you their number one draft pick for the next 5 years, you trade Michael Vick. That's crazy.
I can't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
But it's just, man, it's just Samuel, man. I mean, we've seen Michael go. You know, before that, we've seen Brown go. Before that, we've seen Dawkins go. It's just, you know, it was their time, but, man, it's, I don't think it's Samuel's time. And with those three, man, we're getting that ring, dude.
Hey, Richard, thanks for the call, and I appreciate it from California. I hear you. I think the Eagles still have some positions they need to prove themselves. Again, relying a lot on youth here. A lot more than I expected. All right, let's take our final peek at the morning practice. Offensive line, defensive line. One-on-one battle. We'll show you a snippet from the trenches. Howard Mudd on the offensive line and Jim Washburn running the D-linemen. All right, our first look here is Trent Cole working on the right side of the Eagles' defensive line, working against Jason Peters there, and you see why Peters is so valued as a top-rate left tackle. Now it's Fanuki Tupu up. Actually, it'll be Todd Harriman's inside, it looks like, at left guard, and it is. And he handles Victor Abiamiri. Puts him to the ground, but when you put him to the ground, you want to smash him. And Abiamiri keeps working there and gets to the spot where the quarterback would be. Stepping in at left guard there, Julian Vanderveld. He'll get a rep here soon. He took a lot of reps today at right guard. And there's Trevor Laws working against Jamal Jackson. Good push there from Laws. Fourth tackle here, facing some competition from Cedric Thornton. Mike McGlynn now at right guard against Mike Patterson. I think Patterson's had a very, very good camp. Very, very good camp. I think he's lost 20 pounds. He looks terrific. Much quicker off the ball. Now we go to the right tackle position. It is Daniel Teo-Nessim against Austin Howard. Well, good push there from Daniel Teo. Eagles still trying to find that right tackle with Winston Justice. Sidelined with a knee injury. He's on the physically unable to perform list. We go back to left tackle. Correct, yes. Fanuki Tupu going against Darryl Tapp. And a little miss snap there. They'll run it again. It is difficult to put a microphone out there with Jim Washburn and Howard Mudd, so that's why we're doing it this way. And a good work there from Tupu. Tap a little high there. Now we go to left guard, Julian Vanderveld, who took some reps with the ones today at the right guard position. He'll get a chance to line up against Antonio Dixon. And Dixon kind of shrugs him aside, but Vanderveld keeps the feet moving. Now the next matchup here is Jason Kelsey at center and Cedric Thornton. Was not drafted. Eagles like him a lot. Kelsey does a nice job there. Kelsey taking some reps with the ones today as well. And so the goal is to get to the rag. That's where the quarterback is. A.Q. Shipley now. He lines up at the right guard position against Abi Amiri. Abi Amiri spinning and twisting, and Shipley puts him on the ground. Now it's King Dunlap against Phillip Hunt. Phillip Hunt led the Canadian Football League in sacks last year. Let's see him get off the ball here. Very quick off the ball and no contest. Now you see Hunt, smaller guy, low to the ground, very quick off the ball. Gets a little low five there from Jason Babin. At left tackle, it's Fanuki Tapu again, working against Daryl Tapp. And Tapp wins that one easily. Good hand work. Abi Amiri inside against Julian Vanderveld. Good push there from Abi Amiri. It's a game of leverage, technique, power, explosion. Cedric Thornton now against Jason Kelsey. And Thornton just powers his way to the rag, to the quarterback. Next up looks like Trevor Laws. Maybe. Yep. Against A.Q. Shipley. Nice job there by Shipley. And good work from Laws on the ground. But you'd never want to be on the ground. Shaquay Parker up. Left defensive end. King Dunlap at right tackle. Good inside move there from Parker, but he slips and goes to the ground. Jason Babin there with the low five.
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
It's beautiful. It's intelligent. Even genius. But does your network work?
Yes, I can hear you now.
This is America's largest and most reliable network, Verizon, built so you can rule the air.
Forty years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Have your attention, I have an announcement. Football is back.
Football's back!
Yes!
Hey, Trish, football's back.
Football's back,
huh? Yes!
And we're back, Dave Spadaro, with you on this blustery day. Look at that, the wind just keeping my... See that? See how that visual works? Let's go up to New York and talk to Mark. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? How's everything?
Ah, it's great, Mark. How are you?
Okay, just a few thoughts. I think we're going to keep all three.
Yep.
I can see Cromartie going into the slot, almost uses a hybrid Woodson.
Is he that guy, or is it Nnamdi who's that guy? I mean, that's somebody who's a blitzer. Somebody who supports it. Woodson plays almost a linebacker position.
Me, I'd hate to see him put Asamoah in that spot.
Asamoah,
a shutdown corner.
His name is. Try this with me. His name is.
Yeah, I'll butcher his name 500 times.
I can't even spell it yet. I've got to keep asking somebody. Asamoah, Nnamdi Asamoah,
Asamoah. Asamoah.
Yeah. That
there
would be a funny
thing. Yeah, I'll butcher his name 500 times. But I think with him being the shutdown corner that he is, I think he's better off on the corner with Samuel on the other corner, Samuel and Cromartie at that slot.
You could be right. And that's something Juan's going to have to work out with Johnny Lynn. I don't think you're going to see the traditional, Samuel plays left cornerback and Asamoah plays right cornerback. I think there may be times when there's a stud receiver over here where you say, Nnamdi, you're chasing that guy everywhere he goes. That only makes sense.
I agree 100% with that. It's not. It's like you said. It's not going to be right side, left side. It's going to be number one against number one, our other number one against their number two, and our third number one against our slot.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day to be an Eagle fan. And as far as Casey Matthews, I think with the help we got up front and with the new system we're going to go up front, I think Casey Matthews will do a fine job starting as a rookie and as a middle linebacker.
If they can keep Casey, thanks for the call, Mark. If they can keep Casey clean, in other words, the front four occupy the blockers and let Casey go find the football, no problems. I mean, that's a dream scenario for any linebacker. If he gets engulfed by these 350-pound guards, it's going to be really hard. Really hard. We're going to go back to the telephones here. And we're going to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and talk to Doug. Hey, Dougie.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Lehigh's looking beautiful. I'm going to have to
Thank
make
you.
My way down here.
Yes,
this week.
Please do.
I want to talk about the safety position because, the second-year rookies coming in, Coleman and Allen. Obviously, I think they're going to do better this year, but what about, are they going to be subbing in like kind of they do with the defensive line, you think, and putting Marlon Jackson out there and maybe Colt Anderson? I don't know.
No. I think you'd like to go with two safeties. And now Jaquan Jarrett has to step up very quickly here. Coleman, we've seen him. He's a quality player. Nate Allen is a very good player when he's healthy, and he seems to be there. So I like those three.
Right.
Colt Anderson.
Jarrett will start.
I think it's going to be a really good battle between Jarrett and Coleman.
Yeah, that's really good.
And it's a mental thing with Jarrett. I mean, can he pick up the scheme quickly?
Yeah, it's a lot of.
He's now number 26. That's old video, by the way. Jarrett is now number 26. Just FYI. Go ahead.
That's another thing I was going to ask about. When are the numbers, do you think, going to be locked in? Because obviously we have a couple 24s.
September 10th? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Nnamdi is if the Eagles print up jerseys with 24, I don't think that you can change that number before the season.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I would say he stays 24, and And Jarrett stays 26, and Cromartie stays, Rogers Cromartie stays 23.
Yeah. Okay. One thing I wanted to say, I don't know if he's listening, but you have to commend Deshaun. He's someone who is very vocal, and he hasn't been vocal, which...
Yeah, that's a very good point, Doug. He has not gone on Twitter and complained. He's not allowed himself to get caught up in that at all. And the reports are, you know, that he's going to be in at some point this week. If I were to guess, and it happens, I would say Wednesday or Thursday you'll see Deshaun Jackson here.
Cool. We got to pay him. He's the best.
Yep. He's a good football player. Yep, thank you.
Have a great Eagles Day, Dave.
Thanks, Dougie. 610-758-1921. And that the news of the day is Asante Samuel is here. He should be out at about 2 o'clock here as the Eagles go through their walkthrough. And, you know, that's good news. Deshaun reportedly is closing in on a time to report. Wednesday, Thursday, we'll see. No word on any progress for Danny Watkins. He is still unsigned. First-round draft pick falling down the depth chart. And Jeremy Maclin remains out with an undisclosed situation, his family issues, whatever it is, personal issues. We wish him the best of luck, and we hope to see Jeremy very soon. 610-758-1921. Excuse me? Busa. From where? Busa?
Yeah, hello.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Virginia Beach.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really stoked by all the moves that Eagles have made off season, and I was complaining to my friends, and I kept telling last season we need to beef up the defense. Our offense is good. You know, we're looking at the defense, and I am really, really happy. But there's one question I have about the linebacker position.
Okay.
What do you think? Do you think we need any, you know, a veteran who is like, you know, 7 or 8 years old? Do we need a guy like that, or Casey Matthews got it?
Well, I'll tell you, I think that the Eagles certainly could go with a defensive. Look at this wind today, a little bit of wind. They like Casey Matthews a lot. I mean, I keep getting asked this question about middle linebacker, and right, if the Eagles want, listen, Steven Tulloch is gone, and Nick Barnett is gone, and Barrett Rood is gone, and if the Eagles wanted to get it, they allowed Stuart Bradley to go to Arizona. I mean, they like Casey Matthews right now, and if they don't, they can put Jamar Chaney back at middle linebacker. He played there last year. It would seem a little bit of a risk to go with a rookie at middle linebacker and a second-year man at the strong side position and Moses Folku, a third-year man at the weak side position. But that's what the Eagles are doing right now.
And what about wide receivers? Do you think they're going to grab any big names from the wide receivers?
Well, I mean, no. There's really no big – the only big name that's still out there, wide receiver, is Braylon Edwards, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean,
because Randy Moss just retired. So.
Yeah, if the Eagles need a wide receiver, there's not a whole lot out there, to be quite honest with you. Yeah,
I agree with you.
I want to see Johnny Lee Higgins. How about that?
I think he's good. I've seen him in Oakland Raiders, and whenever I see him, and I've played him as Madden, you know, whenever I played Madden, I think he's good. He's very good, and I want to see him on the field. Has he started any practice yet?
No, he practices on Thursday. Higgins, Higgins, Babin, Asamoah, and Donald Lee, and Evan Mathis, the offensive lineman they signed, they begin practice on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You know, with Michael Vick being the left armor, and I think his blind side is the right side, who do we have on our right guard and right tackle position right now?
Well,
Are they good in that?
They've been working through a lot of people. Julian Vandervelde, the fifth-round draft pick, was at right guard today. Austin Howard played right tackle today. They've looked at King Dunlap at right tackle. They've looked at A.Q. Shipley at right guard. They've looked at Mike McGlynn at right guard. They're just working through a bunch of guys right now to find out what they have. They're a long way from getting this offensive line settled. Howard Mudd wants to see what he has first.
All right. I'm very happy with the left tackle and left guard. It's Jason Peters and is it Todd?
Todd Harriman, yep.
If he comes back, I think those two guys are very experienced and they know how to handle it. But I'm worried about right guard and right tackle. If you get that position fixed, I think we're looking at a team that, you know,
get the offensive line fixed. Get it fixed.
That's all. I'm stoked, and I'm very happy. I can't wait.
Yes, I'm with you. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, thanks for the call. Let's go to Riley Cooper, shall we? Riley Cooper, second-year wide receiver, having a great camp once again. Knows the offense, is running faster, is catching everything, and I think he feels really good about his situation at Lehigh.
How busy are you right now?
I mean, I'm definitely busy, man, just like everybody else. I mean, we're putting in the work for sure. I mean, you know, meetings till about, you know, 10, 10:30 every night, and you know, studying, trying to do a little extra, and you know, when you get back in the room. So everything's going good, though.
How does it compare to last year?
I mean, it's way different. It's way different. That second practice we're not having, I'm not complaining. It's definitely hotter in the afternoon, so... I mean, it's definitely different. A lot more meeting time, a lot more walkthroughs, things like that. So more teach tempo stuff.
You guys aren't even sweating here in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know. I love it.
All the talent that's been brought in here over the last couple of days. What's the feeling like in the locker room?
This business is crazy. You know, people go, people come. You know, get as many as you can. You know, stack up the Eagles and, you know, let's win a Super Bowl.
And how about taking advantage of more reps that you're getting with no Deshaun, no Macklin here right now.
Yeah.
Getting a chance to work with Mike on the first team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I got to make the best of my opportunity for sure. You know, I'm running with the ones, you know. So doing good. But, you know, just got to stay in that playbook and continue to get better every day. You know, you never can be complacent. You know, you got to come in each day and say, you know, there's something I can get better at today.
How about Mike as compared to last year? You worked with him a lot because he was the two back then.
Yeah.
What do you see from him that's different this time around?
You know, he's kind of taken that leadership role, you know, just like he did at the end of the season. You know, he couldn't really do that in camp last year just because, you know, Kevin was the declared starter and things like that. But, you know, he's the same old Mike, you know, as the end of the last year. So nothing's really changed for him.
We talked about the end of last year. Obviously, the season ended. The ball was, you know, a little close to you. Is that something that served as a motivation for you in the offseason?
I mean, there was just, you know, I wish the play would have happened a little bit differently. You know, it's not one person's fault and another person's fault, but, you know, you learn from it from both sides, and, you know, you just get better and don't let it ever happen again.
And how happy are you that you won't have to be playing up against this secondary in a game?
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. We got, you know, 3, 4, 5 great corners here with the Eagles, so we got a legit shot to be very good this year. And our defense looks extremely good.
And we're back, Dave Spadaro, with you. Let's go to the phone, 610-758-1921. Go to Florida. Gary joins us. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dave. How you doing? Long time I haven't talked to you.
Indeed. How are you?
Hot. It's very hot. But, you know, I'm just so happy to be back in touch. You know, it was a long hiatus.
Yeah, how did you deal with the work stoppage? Were you at any point doubting that there would be a season here?
I'll tell you what, I was probably a little more busy during this off season with thinking about the bird, you know, than any other one, for obvious reasons, you know. But I was starting to get almost used to there being no football for a while.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to see him come back. I hope the players are happy with what they got. A couple of things I wanted to talk to you about.
Yes, please do.
The easy one is, how's Ricky Sappin? How's he doing?
Not distinguishing himself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's early.
It is early, but, you know, with Babin here, with Cullen Jenkins here, adding to the depth here along the defensive line, Ricky Sapp needs to step up and be a kind of a dominant player. Hasn't been that yet.
He's that hybrid guy, you know, with his weight being where it is.
Yeah, you know he just hasn't been. I mean, the how Sapp is going to make it is out in space, exploding up the field, and I haven't seen that from him.
Well, it's early. I'm hoping he can do something. He has a lot of speed. And he could probably help in some way, but, you know, if he doesn't make it, it's going to be a tough camp. Holy cow.
Yeah, it's okay. I mean, we'll see what he does in preseason games.
On a serious note.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I was watching NFL.com hiss the other day, and I noticed that each team has between 15 and 25, had between 15 and 25 free agents.
Yeah.
And another thing I noticed, that the lion's share did not get signed back to their team.
Absolutely right.
Just a couple per team. It was horrifying for them. I thought, you know, Jesus, well, what a repercussion from asking for 4 years free agency to have 600 guys, you know, out on the free agent market in no man's land.
And hey, Gary, thanks for the call. I think that there's still a bunch of players on the streets, and the Eagles still have some cap room, and the market has come down, and I think you'll still see the Eagles with an opportunity in the next couple of days to make a move. It may not be a, you know, starting kind of move, but I still think they're trying to add some players. I think they're trying to add some players. So whether they do it or not, whether you recognize the names or not, there are some big names. Backup running back, linebacker, maybe offensive line. I don't think there's a whole lot of needs that you have here. So I think this is a pretty solid roster, pretty solid. Let's go to Florida and talk to John. Hey, John.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Great, how are you?
Good, I haven't talked to you since last year on the draft, but I'm glad football's back again.
Yes, well, I'm glad it's back too, glad to talk to you.
I'm real excited this year. I'm really impressed with what Andy and everybody's done in the front office. I think they went out there and were real aggressive. They got the people. I think a lot of us fans were looking for them to get. And bolstered up the team, especially the secondary. And I'm really looking forward to it. I like the moves that they made. I like the draft picks they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think they did an excellent year this year. I just think they did good. The only thing I'm worried about is, you know, Michael Vick, if something was to happen with him, you know, do we really have a legitimate backup?
Well, I mean, Vince Young has been twice in the Pro Bowl. He's won a lot of games in the NFL. He obviously won a national championship at the University of Texas. There are a lot of teams in way worse shape than the Eagles are at backup quarterback. Now, he needs to learn the system. He needs to work with Marty Morningwig and Doug Peterson and refine his technique and become a better quarterback, and he will.
Yeah. I look more at his attitude. I mean, I know Andy has a thing with these guys. He brings them in, he sees to change these guys, their attitudes, how they play, how they focus on the game. And you know that he's got the talent. It's just, you know, can they just bring it out in him, and can they keep his, you know, his head into the game and where he needs to be to be that legitimate backup that we can really count on?
Well, I mean, let's see when he gets on the field on Thursday, and he's got to go through his reads, and he's got to run this offense. Let's see where he's at.
And one more thing, just what's the status on Jackson? I know he's not too happy with his contract,
yeah,
but I know also with Andy and the front office, they're not ones for you know, wanting to deal with that kind of stuff, and. You know, when you're under contract to play, they expect you to be out there, and hopefully he comes out and does what he's got to do, and they take care of it during the season. But I'd hate to have that distraction already, especially the way this team is set up for such a good run I'm looking at this year.
Yeah, I Jackson reportedly is going to be in here at some point this week, and I think that, you know, Wednesday, Thursday is the time. So there's nobody stressing. Let's talk to Michael Vick this morning. He's not stressing about. Nobody is stressing about DeSean Jackson. He should be here very, very soon. It's Training Camp Live. Dave Spadaro with you as we take a look at the crowd filing in for the afternoon practice here at the Goodman campus of Lehigh University. It is a walkthrough, people. So remember, there are no two-a-days in the NFL in training camp any longer. We've talked a little bit about Phillip Hunt. And I think it's worth mentioning, Eagles signed him prior to the work stoppage, led the CFL in quarterback sacks last year. He has made a nice impression thus far. Flat Top, you're on. You guys are on. Yeah, and I like it, boys. I like it. The Eagles like what they've seen so far of Phillip Hunt. Let's hear from him how he's feeling about his first week as an NFL player.
Philip, it seems like that you're the type of guy who's going to thrive in this system. Just talk about your performance so far in camp and how this scheme that Jim Washburn is doing fits your skill set.
Well, I definitely like the enthusiasm from my rest of my D-line compadres and Coach Washburn. And, you know, it kind of motivates me to come off hard every play. And, you know, it is the type of system that I can thrive in. But right now I'm just trying to earn the respect of my fellow players and my coaches. And hopefully I can be in the role.
Philip, you were in Canada last year. You were the leading sack master over there. What was it like getting that experience, and how are you hoping that that'll translate here to the NFL now that you have that under your belt?
It was great. You know, I had a great time. It was a great opportunity for me to come in there and, just like you said, gain experience. And, you know, with repetitions comes better experience. And I think that, you know, I had quality reps over there in Canada, a good game time experience to where I can just carry that over. It might not have been the same competition level, but, you know, I'm just used to the full season type deal now, and I can come hard off the ball every play and know what different things veteran O-linemen like to do to try to defeat you. So it's all the same deal. I just have to carry it over to the NFL.
Now, Philip, you've been in camps before, so just talk about the experience that's given you, knowing what to expect once you get into camp and how that's going to help you adjust.
Oh, yes. And coming out of college, I was in camp with Cleveland, and it was a hard camp with Mangini. And they taught me just how to know my role and do the thing the coach asked me to do. And once he tell you to do something once, you can't mess up twice. Just little things like that. I think I learned and it's carrying over right now.
So talk about why is it that this scheme fits you so well? Obviously, you're a guy that gets off the ball quickly, but is it just as simple as that you're allowed to just attack the quarterback on each and every play?
I think that's one component of it, but, you know, it's just – I think the playing on the edge outside the tight end where you're not worried about tight end blocking down on you, or you're not worried about lining up outside the tackle so far, you know, I can just come off the edge and dip and lean and bend the corner very easily. I think that fits my body type and you know, and – my speed coming off the ball, like you say, is great because once I get up the field and I'm outside the tackle, it's kind of just me and him, money on an edge, and I think my speed can take over.
And that is Philip Hunt, one of the hopefuls here at defensive end. We'll see what he does. Preseason games, it's one thing to have a good first week, but as you go along in training camp, you start to wear down, you get bigger bodies leaning on you, and at about 240 pounds, Philip Hunt's going to have to show that he's got the durability to play at a high level throughout all that. Curtis Marsh, third-round draft pick, has played well at the cornerback position. We talk all about, you know, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie and Nnamdi Asamoah and Asante Samuel and Jose Leo Hansen and Trevard Lindley. Well, Marsh is somebody the Eagles used a third-round draft pick on. How is his first camp in the NFL?
All right, first day of hitting. What was this like?
What's going on, Sam?
It was great. You know, real intense practice. It was just fast. You know, the game's real fast. But I felt good. I felt like I was able to make some plays, and I just really enjoyed today's practice.
As a rookie, how has the lockout affected you?
I say it didn't really affect me until after the draft, you know, because that would be like when mini camps would start and stuff. So we didn't get any of that. So instead of, you know, coming up here, getting a workout from the strength coach, being able to take that back to wherever I was training and be on this regimen, I kind of had to have my own workout regimen based on where I trained at the combine and based at my college, which is where I trained at. So it kind of just made it so it was more on your own training. You know, you got to put in the work yourself. You don't have, you know, like the team telling you, you know, what to work out and things like that. And then, you know, obviously missing out on mini camp and OTAs and things like that, learning the playbook, getting the techniques down, that's kind of all crammed into this camp. So as rookies, it's unique. It's different than it usually is.
Mm-hmm. You used to be a running back. You switched over to cornerback. Do you feel like you're still learning the position, or are you comfortable playing it?
Yeah, I'm comfortable. I'm really comfortable. But at the same time, I'm learning because I'm at another level now. you know. But as far as just being a corner, I'm fully comfortable, and there's still no, you know, transitional things that I'm going through or anything like that.
What do you hope to learn from Namdi and Dominique and Asante when he gets here?
Oh, man, just everything, you know. It's just a great opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it. And I just hope to learn, you know, just those little things that, you know, they're all great corners. They're all Pro Bowlers. They've all played in big games. And, you know, they know those little things that maybe a lot of guys out there that are good but not great like them don't know. So I feel like I just want to pick their brains. I just want to learn as much as I can and watch their film and, you know, watch what they do and translate that into my game. So hopefully that'll help me, you know, early on in my career to get to that level quicker than most guys. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping to learn from that.
Okay. Is it different for you not having Deshaun and Macklin here? I mean, how does that affect you in practice?
I wouldn't know. You know, I've never gone against either one. So, I mean, as far as practice, it's just the usual. But those are two receivers that are unlike any receiver that we have on the team, I would say. You know, Deshaun, he's unique. And, you know, it would be a great opportunity to go against him. So, you know, that'll be great when he comes. But, yeah, since I haven't actually gone against him, I don't know if it has changed, you know, the way practice is.
Okay. And last question. Do you feel you have an advantage because your dad played in the NFL and you were able to learn from him?
Sure. You know, my dad wasn't really involved in my life too much. You know, he's always kind of been there, but, you know, he didn't raise me. But, you know, yeah, he's given me some tips here and there. I don't think it's a huge advantage, but as far as just my approach to the game and, you know, little things, especially my dad being a seventh rounder and kind of having to fight his way on the rosters like year in and year out, I feel like him talking to me about those, you know, trials and tribulations he went through just kind of made me even hungrier, you know, just to fight, you know, no matter what my situation is.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
For years, one rivalry has divided a continent. In this showdown, players become legends, and goals are remembered forever. USA, Mexico, age-old rivalry, brand new chapter. Cheer on your national team when the USA faces Mexico, Wednesday, August 10th at Lincoln Financial Field. For tickets, call Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
Using Xfinity Internet, only from Comcast. Stream HD movies and experience your favorite games with blazing fast download speeds. Our fastest yet. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. It's Internet reinvented. With blazing fast speeds and the top-rated Norton Security Suite, a value of $160. Get this special introductory offer on Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-XFINITY today.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Guys, healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on earth.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet.
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple, it's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet, what?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm gonna get some for myself. Gotta fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enriched, timeless goodness, imported from Lancaster County.
And we are back here at training camp looking at the, look at it, yeah, go give us this gun show here. There you go, the gun show. Let's go to Tucker in Los Angeles, 610-758-1921. Tucker.
What's up, Dave?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Yeah. I just wanted to play a little bit contrarian here, but I do want to say one thing.
Yes.
And I know and believe I've seen the thing Sean McDermott does. He's a good guy, but man, was he a robot in his press conferences. It is so nice to see Juan Castillo up there just firing away from the heart, from the gut.
Well, I mean, you know, the thing about Juan is obviously not an experienced media person, and he is not polished per se. He is just what he is. I mean, he's just a guy who's...
That's what he said. He said, I just want to be myself. I love it.
What I think is really interesting, Tucker, is that every defensive coach is hoarse right now because they're yelling and screaming and urging, and you know, it's just so there's so much intensity with the defensive coaches right now. It's totally different atmosphere than it's been in the past.
Yeah, you know, and they brought in. I think Wash is going to help Juan a whole lot. You know, I think he's an extra pair of eyes that Juan will probably lean on through the season. So I'm not really worried that it's his first year on that side of the ball. You know, of course I want to see the results, but I'm confident is what I'm saying going in.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to say a couple things about the defense. First of all, I don't understand why people are even asking who are going to be the two starting cornerbacks. I mean, Asante Samuel's established here. He's an all-pro. Yeah, he had a couple of dings last year, but he still had led the league in interceptions for most of the year. I mean, I don't even know what the question is. I think he put Asante.
Well, I think, Tucker, I think people are taking the assumption that Asante Samuel is going to be traded. I don't think that's going to happen.
I know, but even when he's not traded and people are asking, where are you going to play these three guys, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think Asante is going to be here, personally. I think they're going to keep all three of them.
I do, too, and I hope they do. I really hope they do. I mean, the first, you know, South Antonio saying they might trade Asante, I think, before he even had any knowledge. It was just kind of speculation. And like, the first thing I thought was, why would you do that? It becomes somewhat of a wash. Yeah, Asamoah is supposed to be better than Asante. I still want to see that. I think he's a really, really great player. I'm glad we got him. But still, I love what Asante does for this football team. I love the energy he brings.
Oh, yeah.
And then another thing, I'm sorry, but I just can't I can allow, but I just can't sit back and hear people prop up Matthews as if he's going to be a starter. I just don't understand how that could possibly be.
Well, I mean, the reason you do it, Tucker, is because he's on the practice field taking all the reps at number one.
I know, right now. But, I mean, I'm out here in L.A., as you know, and, you know, he got pushed around against USC, you know, big pro bodies. I mean, I just don't see how he could come in here and start right away. I just don't think that's fathomable, to be honest with you. I mean, just because of his measurements, his size. He's not the fastest guy, not the biggest guy. I understand he's got great football instincts, but let me ask you, do you really feel comfortable with him being in there?
I mean, I have not seen him in pads. I've seen Casey Matthews play 3 or 4 days. I certainly trust, you know, what Howie's doing. I certainly trust the coaches. They know a million times more than me, and listen,
and me,
the market has been there. If the Eagles wanted to add a linebacker, they had the opportunity to do so many times.
Right,
here.
But everything is settling now. You know, it's like,
and they may and
like
they may right, and Tucker, they may do that. They may go out and get, but who are you getting? Who's out there?
You know, I mean, I'm still wondering if a couple more guys are going to be cut. I don't like the kid out of Seattle. I think all you need to know is he's going to meet with the Oakland Raiders. I don't want anything to do with that kid. Two bum knees. But what about that guy? I don't want to get into, like, names and stuff like that and speculate. I'm just saying I think that they should bring in a veteran. I really believe that.
Well,
and what about Chaney? Has he been running any of the ones in the middle?
No, he's running strong side.
He's running strong side?
Mm-hmm. But in this scheme, strong side's really not the strong side. It's hard to explain. In fact, I can't explain it, and because I don't know enough, and I'm watching and I'm talking to scouts and so forth, and they don't know enough yet. So at some point, we'll talk to Juan about it.
Let me ask you just one quick question. First of all, that was great giving me the news about how you can't reshow the plays, and I like that because I haven't been able to watch the first two episodes of training camp.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm glad we're not reshowing it because I don't want other people to see it. But the preseason games, I know you work closely with the NFL, obviously. You're employed by the NFL, essentially, by the Eagles through
yes.
the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be having the preseason games on NFL.com so we can watch them if you're in Los Angeles?
That's a great question. I don't know about that.
Can
I know
you
the
find that out yeah. and put it out?
NFL, right, NFL yeah, you got it, Tucker. Thanks. I think the NFL Network certainly will. I don't know if if the NFL.com will have that. I don't know that. That's a great question. I know that NFL Network will. By the way, the first preseason game is next Thursday, the 11th, locally 7 o'clock on 6ABC, and the NFL Network will pick it up as well. We're going to go out to Sacramento, California, to talk to Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how you doing out there?
That's great.
I just had I'm excited like anybody else that bleeds green and all the signings and the front office showing that they want to build a winner. And, I mean, we were excited just at the end of last season. But now I had one question, though. I heard an analyst saying that and he was the only analyst saying that Green Bay was still maybe one of the teams to beat in the NFC. Of course, we all think it's the Eagles. But how much better do you think the Eagles match up against Green Bay with all –
Well, they do tremendously on defense, obviously. They right. match up with the wide receivers a lot better. Now, who's covering JerMichael Finley? All right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a big question right there.
Right.
Big question right there. Who's you figure the front four is going to be better, the coverage will be better. So I think the defense is getting there, but still, the tight end is Jamar Chaney over the tight end because he's a better cover man? Yes.
Right.
Offensively, hey, the Eagles need to be better up front. They need to defeat yeah. the blitz. They must
yeah.
defeat the blitz.
Yeah, yeah. Michael's such a warrior, and he's just such a. And I think that's why everybody follows him. And he's charismatic, but he's just such a warrior, and he'll take the hits and he'll do whatever it takes. But boy, I sure would like to see him take a little bit less.
Absolutely. I don't want him to take any hits. I want him to get rid of the football.
Exactly. I hope we go all the way, but I tell you, you can tell it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Hey, thanks for the call, Chuck. We have Julian Vanderveld we want to get to here real quick, and then we'll take a couple of calls and wrap things up. Now, Julian's a fifth-round draft pick. He taking reps with the ones today at the right guard position. We'll see where he lines up in this afternoon walkthrough as we take a look out there on the practice field, and it's quiet, but it won't be quiet for long because the players are on their way out. For the afternoon walkthrough, reminder, tomorrow's a big day. Online tickets are available. Single game tickets go on sale at 10 a.m., and they will go quickly. 10 a.m. tickets go on sale, and then here at training camp, it's closed. It's a day off. Players' day off is Tuesday, so don't come up to Lehigh tomorrow. There's nothing going on. Wednesday, we're back, and we're live at noon on Training Camp Live. Practice at 8:05 on Wednesday, and then Thursday, all of the Eagles will be on the practice field, all of the players as the new league year begins. And we really kick it into high gear. All right, Julian Vanderveld, rookie. Now he's getting a shot at right guard.
Julian, you got to work with the first team offense. Just talk about that opportunity and how exciting is it that as a rookie you get that kind of chance out?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a great opportunity, and it's something that you got to take advantage of. And I've made a few mistakes, some mental errors, but all you can do is keep working day in and day out, and hope that sooner or later, they have to be able to trust you to put you with that unit. So I'm hoping that I can build that trust back up and get back on there.
What's it like protecting someone like Michael Vick? Now I understand he has the red jersey; it's not full go, but still, you have to kind of look back there and see a four-time Pro Bowl quarterback.
It's really intense, I mean, you got to respect the guy, you respect his talent, you respect everything that he's done. And at the same time, you got to understand that he can't do it alone. Just because you have, a guy who can run and gun and who is so elusive back there, it doesn't mean you can relax. If we can still keep him in that pocket, we're going to keep him in that pocket and just turn him into a pocket quarterback if at all possible. That's our job.
Julian, you played for one of the best offensive line coaches in all of the country in Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. Now you have Howard Mudd. How has that helped the transition, knowing that you're going from one of the best at the college level to one of the best, if not the best, at the pro level?
Well, it's really helped a lot just in terms of the number of schemes and the types of plays that we ran at Iowa. We ran such a variety of different things that coming out here, the concepts are all in place. It's just a matter of working into the system, getting the calls down, understanding in which situations you zone block, which situations you cross block. There's definitely some differences in there, but the preparation, from a preparation standpoint, it was definitely a big help to go to Iowa.
How tough is it that after the months of inactivity because of the work stoppage that you're thrown into the fire and now having to pick up a whole new offense, whole new scheme, get it acclimated to NFL training camp and all of that in such a short time?
It's a little rough, but it's really not that bad. You know, you expect that at this level, everyone is the best of the best. You know, we were all the best at what we did in college, and now we're coming out here to try and be the best. And if you want to be the best, you have to be able to learn really quickly, you know, pick things up on the fly and just take it and go. And so we're just kind of in an accelerated mode, but it's not something that I don't think we can handle.
Okay, we're back. Dave Spitter with you here. Let's go to the phones and we'll talk to Will in South Carolina. Hey, Will. Will, hang on. Will?
Yes.
Yes, hi. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Great, great. How are things?
Very well.
Good.
I'm a little excited about all the new acquisitions, but I still have a couple concerns. It looks like they did address the right guard with Watkins, even though he's unsigned.
Well, Watkins isn't here, so how much can you count on him? They addressed it by signing Evan Mathis, an experienced player who has been a starter in the league. So, there's a little bit of insurance there.
So you think even if he signs, he's going to miss?
He's not walking.
He probably won't even end up in the lineup.
Unless Danny Watkins gets in here real fast, he is not walking into the starting lineup. He's not.
All right, and my other thing was, what I'm really concerned about is the right tackle slot. I know Winston Just is our starter, but I haven't seen him, and just wondering if you talk a little bit about that position.
I thought
they were going to address the linebackers anymore. Are they going to go with the three they got?
I don't know about the linebackers. Right tackle, yeah, I'm concerned too. Until we see Winston Justice here, I believe the emergency fallback is to send Todd Harriman from left guard to right tackle. How's that sound?
All right, well, if Harriman plays right tackle, then who's your left guard?
It could be McGlynn, it could be Mathis, it could be Watkins when he gets here.
All right, so those are the starting tackles you see on the team. It could be
Vanderveld. No, I don't see any right tackles. King Dunlap clearly had an opportunity to step up and hasn't done so. And Austin Howard, I've seen him not nearly as impressive as he was last year.
But you think Herman's could do it
without
a problem?
Yeah.
I was just curious about how they were planning on addressing it, because I know Winston did a pretty good job the first 13 games until he got hurt.
Yeah.
And after that, I didn't really see. I mean, they definitely have the bodies to go with the best five, but I was just wanting your insight on that.
Yeah, I think, and thanks for the call, I think that you will see Winston Justice back on the field prior to the end of the preseason. When that is, thanks for the call, Will, I do not know. Hey, I want to thank you all for joining us here today on Training Camp Live. We're live again on Wednesday at noon. So for now, we say, with all of our hearts, and have a great Eagles Day.
Come on, slow starter.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
We gonna get in shape here.
Blue engine, boom.
There you go.
Cadillac, halfback check.
Eagle. Gotta run through that one. Gotta have that one right now.
Come on, it's the ball, baby. Let's go.
There you go. Make a play.
Nice job, baby.
Blue 58.
Get up here.
Oh, no. That's why I put him up there.
Yeah.